Joel Radio, welcome, welcome. It's Joel, joined by a blue ribbon panel of assholes today. Look at these guys.
Oh, terrific.
Thanks.
Corey Hall.
Shalom, everybody.
Movie critic, comedian.
Yep.
Purveyor of popular culture.
Trivia whiz.
Lover of fat women, Corey Hall. We've That's also true. Got John Tenney, ghost hunter.
Yes.
Podcaster.
Hello, people of Earth.
A paranormal lecturer.
Something like that.
And God, all
television personality.
Musician, television personality. Never end.
Bedroom personality.
Yes. John Tenney. The man with no cable or internet. John Tenney.
That is true.
No internet?
I have no internet. I steal it from
he
one of my neighbors.
Steals internet. He doesn't have his own.
That's right.
You're amazing.
In order to listen to the show, John will have to.
Just remember, I had your wife in my house on my couch.
Well, that's a good point.
All right, John Tenney.
I was in Beulah. I was in Butte, Montana. Yeah. So.
Your wife was looking longingly across from me when I took her to dinner later.
Oh
wow!
Yeah, that we heard that on Top Tennies.
That's right.
Your first plug of the afternoon.
There you go.
Top Tennies, John's podcast, where I was the first guest.
You were.
We actually taped it in the Joel Radio Studios.
Yes.
Which we didn't reveal on the
second
show.
Episode.
Yeah.
Was the best episode yet?
It was with your parents. Yeah, I listened to that one as well.
Yeah, we're doing doing episode 5 this week.
Who's the guest for episode 5?
Not allowed
guest?
To disclose that.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
The guest has been picked.
It's a top secret guest.
I'm really trying to get, this hasn't happened. I'm hoping it'll happen around episode 10, but I'm trying to get all of my ex-girlfriends to be guests.
At one time?
No, they'll
individually. Oh, just individually they'll all go.
You did a roundtable presentation?
I do not want to do that.
Maybe I can interview your ex-girlfriends, and you wouldn't be on it, but it would still be your show. That'd be interesting.
Years ago, I had this idea that I wanted to do an art installation,
yeah.
Like an arty-farty arts installation,
okay.
Where instead of like painting pictures of all my ex-girlfriends, all of my ex-girlfriends would just sit on stools in the art gallery from first to last girlfriend, and people would come in and just talk to them about
me. It's a great idea.
Wow.
I guarantee that idea will be stolen.
If you lined up your girlfriends, is there anything we can tell about you just from looking at them?
No. No, I am all over the board.
Would they get progressively younger from beginning to end?
I mean, they all pretty much stay the same age.
But they're not the same age. They're
not anymore. But
they're
I mean,
relative
like when I was,
to when you,
you know,
were dating.
When I was like 22, I was
right,
dating
yes.
a 22-year-old.
Sure. So then, really, the 20
your more recent one was younger.
She was young, but I mean, I dated the mom that I dated was like 22 when
but,
I dated.
But the
her.
Point is, like, if you line them up now, you'd have some 40-year-old woman on one side who was 22 when you dated her.
Right.
And then you'd have like a 24-year-old woman
yes.
who was 22 when you
Absolutely.
Dated her. So they would get younger.
Yes.
In a sense. Okay,
yes.
That's interesting.
That would be interesting. I
would
didn't
they
think
get
about
thinner
that.
Or heavier? Well, they probably get heavier just because they're older. They probably...
Yeah, the metabolism slows
oh,
down.
Oh, we must do this.
They eat more. They eat more because they're depressed. They're not in their life anymore.
I think that's a pretty brilliant idea.
It
wouldn't
is.
Wouldn't it be really, really crazy?
You're chock full of good ideas there, Johnny.
Yeah. Now, if someone would do something with one of them.
If you lined up my various ladies, there'd be a pattern. You'd have a theme.
Yes.
You would see a pattern.
A bunch of women who didn't show up for this event.
You'd say, "Hey, look, that's a field hockey team." Oh no, that's Corey's ex-girlfriends.
Well, and then but you'd
that's
have a
say.
You'd have a couple. Although you know, well, now they're getting older, so they would
sure.
probably all start.
For a
to
second,
look
I thought you were going to say you'll have a couple of dudes. I thought that sentence was going to end.
You'd have a couple that were off model. You'd have a couple that were
oh, yeah?
kind of...
You'd have an atypical one in there?
Yeah, you know, they're...
Throw the average off?
Yeah, there were a couple that were not on,
right.
on point, but yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely have a type, yeah.
Okay.
You well, would definitely, good. In my row, you would see when you hit girls in the like mid to late 90s, it's just all insane people.
I remember.
Does that end at a certain point, or did it?
Oh no, it ends. It's like I'm over.
And
I can't
you just
do
go enough
these
craziness.
Crazy people
yeah,
anymore.
Craziness.
And I remember some of those women.
Sure.
And yes, I would agree.
Yeah. Just yeah. Nuts.
Because I'm trying to think how much of that has been documented. My girlfriend life has actually been documented on this show.
Oh, you've gone through and done like
but,
a list.
But it's
of...
not. No, they've actually been on.
Oh, you.
But I think it's fewer than I think.
See, I would bring in everybody from like the girl in junior high that I loved.
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah.
You know, who's
been on the show? Let me think.
There's been two girlfriends of mine for sure that have been
legit
on the show.
Legit girlfriends.
Yeah, actual girlfriends.
And that's 90% of the girls.
And then there's been other girls that I've, you know, there's other girls that have been on the show that I've slept with that weren't my girlfriends necessarily, but.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been lots of girls on the show I haven't slept with, too.
Right.
Just to keep it open.
But when you say slept with, you don't mean slept next
to
them.
No, I actually had sex with them.
Inside them.
They had an intercourse.
They had a nap. And,
I slept inside them. That's right, I did, John.
They slept while you were inside them.
That's Joel's move.
Right. Joel, if one of us is asleep, it doesn't count as sleep. No.
Joel slips it in there and then takes a nap. That's his move. He just goes.
So, yeah, that is it. That's a good concept if anyone.
If any of them, my exes are out there.
But it would be actually, but people would have to know you to get.
I don't think so.
The essence of it.
Now, let me ask this.
I think it would be interesting to people just to see the trends, like how a person grew up or what they were going
through.
How big of a gallery would we need here?
How many stools would we need at the art installation?
You guys talk. I'll come up with a number you guys talk about. Go ahead. Oh, I'm serious.
How many would you need, Corey? I mean, in a rough.
I could do it in a pretty small gallery.
But so you would less than a dozen stools would be needed.
A little more than that.
A little more than that. Interesting. Okay. It's fine.
In terms of girlfriends.
Yeah.
That's like serious long term.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's like a half dozen.
Yeah. But then you could throw in the crazy chicks you banged, and then it gets longer.
Various women I had relations with.
Yeah. How do you think I should break this up? Girls that I actually like said you and I are boyfriend girlfriend.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the ones that would count.
Yeah.
Although I'll tell you, believe me, if you're doing something late at night, every girl you've ever slept with, at least in my case, would be a bizarre lineup of, you know, it would be a
I figured that out
a before. Rogues gallery.
I figured that out before, and it is that, like,
it is
those weird comic book who's
yeah. Like, rogues
wait
gallery.
Why did this character even come into the picture at this
right
point?
Yeah, it would be sort of like, you know, you know, at the end of the Simpsons episode where they all end up together and it's a big
right,
that's what it would look like, right. With my penis, like,
girls that
fuck?
I
Duff, man, what are you doing here?
Girls that I've said I'm your boyfriend or my girlfriend, I think you would probably need somewhere between like 15 and 20 stories.
Oh, okay. All right. That's
not a bad number.
I don't know if that's good or bad. That could be bad in a sense that.
Yeah,
that could be very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you throw girls that just like randos.
Yeah. Randos.
Rando. Like just a one-nighter or something
just,
like
just,
that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to.
Then it gets
take some stock in a folding chair company.
That see, yeah, in my case that'll pad the stats.
We need to rent out Ford Field for that. Is that what you're saying, John? Is that
I would count a girlfriend as anybody you dated more than 2 weeks. 3 weeks? What's the cap? What do you think?
I really do think it comes down to actually saying like we're dating.
I think so. I think that's right. Mm-hmm. But I think it also comes down to this is somebody that you're
because there are girls that I've banged a couple, like, over the course of 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we were never boyfriend, girlfriend.
Sure. But I think it also has to do with what
you banged.
But it's also, I think, the girlfriend
banged them good.
Is what you publicly put out there, meaning that, like, there's girls that, and Corey and I have this, where, you know,
mm-hmm.
One in particular, Corey never met this girl. Yeah. I dated this woman for almost a year.
Big Sheila. Yeah.
That's Corey has a code name for her. That's
right.
Her code name.
Right.
She never met anyone.
Mm-hmm.
She never met my parents. She never met my best friends.
Yeah.
She never met my roommates.
That
she never
ashamed
met
of her.
It just never came up.
Well, there was one girl that I
we go out. You'd see us out if you were out. You might see us out, but
holding hands, looking like boyfriend.
Yeah, I think so. She went to comedy gigs with me and stuff like that occasionally, but generally speaking, it was never a thing. Where, you know,
there was one girl I dated for probably a year and a half or so, on and off a little bit, and. She would come over to my place when I lived in Ferndale, and I'd be like, yeah, just come on back here. Like, I never, she was like, why don't you introduce me to your friends? I'm like, because they're dicks.
Right. Like, well, like, there's that, yeah. There's that, too.
Like, my roommates, I'm like, what, you know, sit there with Monday and be surly? Yeah. And just, you know, it's like, you know, come on. What am I going to do?
And sometimes, too, it's like, you know, you don't want to introduce her because you know it's not going to last long. So once you introduce somebody, then you've got questions about
I was not trying
this
to make a comment on her.
Right.
It was that. My roommates are
no,
kinda,
that's true too.
Kind of assholes.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Yeah.
And then, well, for me, it's weird because I have I've been in a number of somewhat long-term relationships. So, like, there's one girl that eats up, like, 4 years of my dating life.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another girl that eats up another 4 years. So just mm-hmm. those two are, like, there's eight years in between two
Eight
girls.
Years completely mm-hmm. gone.
Yeah. Just wasted.
Prime years wrecked. Wasted.
But when I come out of those long-term relationships,
yeah.
fucking forget. Like, that's going to be it. The next 3 months is a disaster.
Yeah.
What if we did this as a flow chart? What if we did this as a...
I could do that. I could put
that
together.
Can we do a flow chart? Yeah, yeah. That would work. Yeah.
I think the art installation idea is great. I think that's... someone's got to have
done
that.
And people could just ask any... I tell the girls, ask any question. Feel free to answer however you feel you need to answer.
Well, when we get that together, we'll promote that. But until then, it's top tennies.
You're the kind of guy who could actually make that happen.
I don't know. There's some out there that...
Yeah. There's some that wouldn't want to talk, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple that are lesbians now.
Sure.
Who don't probably want to talk about right, when they were...
Are there some that are married now? Probably,
oh, yeah. And
I mean, do you even know... Are you in contact with all these women?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would need to pay a guy to find the women, basically. Like, you would need to...
Yeah, I don't think they're hiding, but it would be easy to find them.
Yeah, but you have to look for them.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't know where they are.
Right. And there's a few that, you know, I want to see what happened.
Sure. Okay.
Right?
I think we all have that.
See what's doing.
See what's happening.
What about the one that got away, John? What about
I've always believed.
Is there one that
John,
got away?
No. They never get away because John.
I've always
believed. Very effective in the tie down.
No. I've always believed that your one true love.
Yeah.
Is the one that gets away.
Oh.
I always believed.
What about the girl that you never dated? As the one that got away. Do you have that?
Yeah.
I have that, too.
Oh, it breaks my heart, too.
Yeah, me, too.
Still, I just, yeah. I mean, and there's, oh, yeah. No.
And then
oh,
you kind of go.
Just thinking about it. I hate it.
That sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes it happens, and years later, you see the girl or something, and then you go, like, why did we never,
I got,
you know, like, you just get, you, why did we never hook up?
Oh, it's a disaster.
So, I've got a couple. I got two or three
of those.
It's
making me sad right now.
And the sad part is when you discuss that fact with them later on.
Yeah, and they go,
now it's out of the realm of possibility.
You go, you know, we should have hooked up. And they go, why didn't we?
Yeah, and you go.
There was a girl that I was super digging on.
Yeah.
And she, like, there was kind of just flirting.
Mm-hmm.
And then she moved away. And she was gone for, like, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And I went and lived my life, kind of forgot all about her or whatever.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, someone like said, she's moving back.
No.
And I was like, oh, maybe this is this is where it happens.
Sure.
And she came back and then nothing. Right.
But you tried. But you made an attempt.
But what?
When she comes back, you make an attempt.
I invite her out to dinner a few times, whatever. And things seem to be going well.
All right.
But she moves away again.
Oh, no.
Gone for another year.
Oh, no.
Comes back. Right. Now, this time coming back. Dating, kissing.
You are.
Making out.
You too.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then, not ready for it. Disappears again.
Oh, my God.
Now engaged to someone.
Oh, see, that happens. Yeah, I know.
The worst.
I know.
It should have been me.
I have that, too.
You know what else I think is weird? Let's talk about just for a weird girl stories. I met and kind of made out and hung out with this chick a few years ago. Right? It didn't go out too well.
Okay.
But I found it really strange that, like, it didn't work out between us. I started dating the girl that I dated for 2.5 years,
okay,
Laura.
Yeah.
I just recently realized the girl that I went out on the date with 3 years ago, married with kids now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happened in that 3 year span of time?
Could have been you.
Could have been.
That's the thing.
Locked into that.
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's a disaster nightmare. Yeah. Like, what a bullet dodge. Right?
I had a girl who broke up with me who said, and this is a legendary quote, I just don't think I'm wired for monogamy. And is now married.
Right.
Yeah. And was married not long after that. You know?
Yeah.
Like, within a year. I'm like, oh, really?
That happens a lot, apparently, I think. You get out of something.
It's weird.
Apparently somebody rewired you. You went to with the electrician again.
I've always said too that I'm the guy that a girl dates before she gets married.
Yeah, that happens. Mm. That happened. Well, I had the girl.
You got to get it out of their system.
Well, I had the girl who she had broken off her engagement
for you
from a guy, not for me, but I met her when she had broken it off.
Right.
Then we were having a great time.
Right.
Then she just disappeared from my life.
Broke your heart.
By the time I found her, she was married and pregnant.
Broke your heart.
Yeah, basically.
Could have been you.
Could have been me. So.
Could have a little
she
Joel.
She went back to the guy.
Could have a little Joel running around.
Could have a little Joel running around.
To all the girls I've loved.
The little
before.
Joel would have died by now. Who are we kidding?
That's true.
Who are we kidding? With my parenting skills, are you kidding me?
His little clown costume.
I had a cat for like 2 years, and that thing was hanging by a thread, so we'll see. All right, so let's get into what we're talking about today. I mean, we are plugging everything.
Like, no, let's go, John. Continue to rumble down the the highways and byways of love gone sour.
Let's play Finder of Lost Loves with John Tenney and Corey Hall.
Here on Pillow Talk.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Facebook is?
Yeah, it is sort of Facebook, but although there's people that I've looked for on Facebook that I can't find.
Isn't it crazy when someone is off the grid? Like,
there are people that are gone.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're gone.
There's not many, but...
Yeah.
And there's certain things. I think it's weird when you search the internet for something and the internet, like anything.
Yeah.
And the internet doesn't have any information.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, like Tales of Quan. Try and track an episode. It's gone. It just vanished.
Tell everybody what Tales of Quan
is. That was never on
the internet. It's a cable access kung fu show.
I'm familiar with it, but, you know, that's because I know.
Cable access kung fu show hosted by Master Lee Kwan.
But do you find, does anybody ever look for you? Because this happened to me. Do people ever look for you from a million years ago?
Yes.
And what is your interaction with them when they find you? Because I usually, when people, honestly, like people from a million years ago, they'll like hit me up on Facebook and I just
blow it off.
Sometimes I'll usually add them as a friend, but I don't. They'll send me like a private message, and I generally don't respond.
Yeah, I do.
I
pretty much do
say.
The same thing.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, I don't want to relive.
I had a
shit.
Boss, an old boss from the early 90s, find me on Facebook last week.
Okay,
and was like, "Hey, good to see you." And I'm like, "You were my boss for 2 years in the early 90s." You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm thinking. He's excited,
right?
But I added him as a friend, and then he sent me a private message, and I haven't.
Yeah, because it happened. Like, there was
there's people that no longer have a utility in your life or a purpose.
Yeah. Right. Like, there's a guy, one of my childhood friends, the kid that lived at the end of the street of me from when I was five through high school.
Right.
And he was about 2 years older than me, and his little brother was really my best friend, and then he was there too. And he hit me up, and I was just like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
I have no, you know what I mean? This person is like, I have really no connection with this person other than stuff that happened a million years ago. And
that's what's fascinating to me, whether it be Facebook or like high school reunions.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, I only cursorily knew you for 4 years, 25 years ago.
Yeah, I don't get the high school reunion thing. Yeah.
Like, even, I don't get that. You are not even close to the same person that I knew, and I'm not the person that you think you knew.
Right.
I look the same. I have the same name.
Yeah. See, I don't know that I would even... If you put me in a room, let's say secretly you were going to pull a prank on me or something, and I walked into a restaurant...
Pay attention to this, Corey.
Or I walked into somewhere, and it was filled with only people that I went to high school with.
Yeah.
I think I could walk around whatever it would be, a restaurant, and not realize I was surrounded by the people I went... Like, I'm just not even cognizant of...
I went to my 25-year reunion.
Names. I don't remember... Yeah.
I went to my 25-year reunion.
How fucking old are you? Jesus.
I know, it's just... It's
no,
just...
No, John's old.
Go ahead, John. Yeah.
Oh,
25-year reunion.
And I recognized...
Yeah.
Maybe two people.
Really? Yeah.
In a room of, you know, 300 or 400 people.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Well, those people, there are a lot of people, there's a bunch of those people on Facebook that I'm friends with. But there's a ton more that I see on Facebook all the time, and I go, why would I possibly, I didn't like you to begin with, would I possibly, you know, oh, now you're 38, great, good for you.
Yeah, Like, I don't think I want to go to a room full of people my age.
There you
that
go.
Yeah, sound like
I
a
stay
lot
away
of fun.
From that.
I went to my 10-year, and that's not...
That's not too bad.
That's not too bad. That was actually a lot of fun.
See, I didn't go to my 10. I didn't go to my 15, 20. I went to the 25 because I figured There'd be a lot of dead people there. Like we'd be talking about who died.
Yeah.
A lot of people would be fat.
Did you talk to the ghosts that, of the people that are no longer there?
No.
Did you?
But I had to hear about the people who tragically passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
oh,
is...
He overdosed on heroin like 6 years ago. Oh, what a tragedy. No, that's... No.
I will say my 10-year, I made the mistake. I took the wrong girl home.
Oh.
And that I regret. There were like a couple other options on the table.
Well.
And I now, in retrospect, look back and think...
Look, if you brought anything home, you're doing okay. I don't think you should complain.
Well,
and not because it's you. I'm just saying anybody. You know what I mean? Like, if you go to
this was a case
high school reunion and you see somebody...
This was a case I'd already been working on.
Right.
And
from 10 years earlier?
Right, but I'm saying the work's already put in.
In recent times.
Years.
Okay.
Before that.
Oh. Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah. And no, that I made the complete mistake that I should have... there were more out there options. So anyway.
Well, there's always the 20, Corey.
Well, he's done now.
You can have them.
He's locked down now.
Yeah, but Corey's how long until you're 20 years?
It's coming up.
It's like next year or this year or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe. Because Corey's younger than me, so he's...
Yeah, I'm just figuring out how
we're
much
doing old, the math on Corey.
I'm doing the math on how much older John is than me.
Yeah, John is older than you and older.
Oh, it
than
must have been. It must have been my 20 reunion.
Yeah, it could have been 25.
Yeah, it must have been because my 25's coming up.
Yeah, you're 25.
Yeah, so it was a 20. Year.
Okay,
could have been your 25. That's when I went. How the fuck old are
right.
you?
Anyway. I just want you know what I honestly don't know that. Hopefully, see, I think I'm pretty easy to find.
Yeah,
just because I have all that web presence
right.
of comedy and.
And you're a star, so I mean, people know, but people are probably afraid to contact you. What kind of agency do I have to go through? How many hoops do I got
to
jump through?
You have to
through?
Call Psychopathic Records.
Records and
I realized I was much more notable in high school.
Yeah?
Like, everybody seemed to know who I was.
Yeah.
Because I was a loud, opinionated asshole.
Yeah.
And I was in plays and stuff. And
sure,
so, like, it seems like a lot of people remember me, so people will occasionally still now go... Oh, yeah, you went to high school with my sister or whatever. Oh. And I'll go, oh, yeah, I'm a notable figure.
See, I was
and
weird.
I will complete, I will have no idea who the
you
person is.
You have no
is.
Idea who they are.
They'll
yeah.
come up and go, hey, what's up, man? And yeah. I'll go, oh, yeah, Berkeley. You know, like, I just.
Yeah.
See, I was a weird freak show and got my ass beat and everyone hated me. And then at my reunion, people told me what a great guy was and they admired how different I was.
Exactly. I thought it seemed like
John blew took, my fucking mind.
John took his ass beatings with class and dignity, and
sometimes not.
Believe me, in my sophomore year, these sounded like bad times.
Yeah,
if Corey's going to eat on mic, so am I.
Yeah, feel free.
You know what the worst is?
I'll be a professional broadcaster.
Speaking of all
the rest of the show,
speaking of the lost loves.
Yeah,
I had a girl tell me. Now this was secondhand; it wasn't the girl herself.
Yeah,
but there was a girl that I hung out with in
Teddy,
high school.
You're so far off that mic, they're not going to hear you from there, so you're all right.
That's all blown now anyway. I've been chomping away.
Yeah.
A friend of a girl was like, this one girl was totally in love with you in high school.
Yeah.
And she wanted you to take her virginity.
Did you know any of that?
Ooh, high school confidential.
No, and I didn't, like, I touched her boobs and stuff, but like, she was like, yeah, she wants you to take her virginity.
Wow.
I'm like, a deflowering.
I'm like, she could have told me.
Yeah.
I would have taken the plunge.
I'm guessing that option's probably off the table now.
Yeah, that option's
she
way
didn't
off,
hold out for
no,
you.
No, that option's way off the table.
Damn it.
I'm like, look, I would have given her the best, you know, 2 minutes of her,
right,
of her life and done, I would have screwed it up, but, you know,
ruined Vienna sausage for the rest of her life.
Yeah. That's a bummer, though. You go, wow, really? Now, as an old man, it sounds creepy.
There was no one in my high school I wanted to sleep with.
What is that? How is that possible?
I dated girls from other schools.
Yeah, there were guys
around,
like that. No,
did you hang around the Catholic girls' school and wait for them to get out?
It's just I was in the punk scene.
And they all went to some other school.
And
what high school did you go to?
Dondero.
Okay.
Which does not exist anymore.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Now, what was the high school where the punks went that you liked?
Kimball.
Kimball. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was a divide.
Yeah,
they're like
was.
A mile.
Oh, Kimball was the nice kind of, we're near Birmingham Royal
oh,
School.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then Dondero was the dirt school. It's where all the stupid, dirty
it's
kids
were. Yeah.
Well, Dondero,
everybody at Dondero was driving Camaros. Everybody at Kimball was driving BMWs.
Interesting.
I dated a couple Dondero girls after the fact.
Right.
Yeah.
Not in high school. You know.
I wrestled Dondero when I was on the wrestling
team. The
whole
school?
No, just the guys on the Dondero wrestling team. I don't remember much about it. I remember going there.
One at a time. Joel,
I didn't know that you were a wrestler.
I was a wrestler in high school.
He's got a
wrestled Ferndale. We wrestled Dondero.
You dig that picture of you and your wrestling trunks.
You got yourself
in a
sling?
I don't know what the stuff in the singlet.
Is that what they're called?
They're somewhere, but I honestly...
I've seen it.
Okay, but I honestly don't know where those are right now. And if I did, I would gladly show them to you.
Post them online.
Well, I recently put up on Facebook like my post high school pictures.
I want to see the singlet.
Yeah, I don't know where that is, but I did.
I've seen it.
I do have those. They exist.
What was your wrestling weight?
Well, I started as a freshman. I was 145.
Right.
As a senior, I was. So they changed it. I think I wrestled either 178 or 186 by the end.
Right.
Which, God knows, I'm nowhere near either of those now.
Right.
No. 186 sounds like a fucking dream to me. 186
it
sounds
sound
like...
wonderful, yeah.
I would love to be 186.
I would love to be 186.
Yeah. But I don't think I can get down to one. Now, I'm probably taller because I actually grew... Like, I was a late grower in terms of height. If that makes sense.
High school confidential.
High school confidential. No, but I was the shortest student of any student... In, like, the second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade.
Right.
I'd be the shorter than the girl, shorter than everybody. There was one other little Italian
kid
that was the same height as me. But I was the shortest. So
Bambino.
I was always the short kid. I was never fat. I was never, like, the fat kid.
Right.
You know, you look at me and you go, you must have been, like, this fat kid, little kid. And I wasn't. I was just short. As I got older, I got taller but also got fatter.
There you go.
One reason I will probably go to my 20th high school anniversary is that time is a nice averager.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been a fat guy my whole life and have worn it, you know, reasonably well. These other guys are now fat.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably
so,
a lot
you know what
of them,
saying?
Sure.
I wear the fat guy thing. I know how to do it.
Yeah.
They're going to look awful and look like a dump.
My 20 year, there were the jock guys. And they just fucking fell apart.
Those guys are
disaster.
And this goes to my theory, it's in my act that look, beauty fades, but ugly is forever. Mm-hmm. And Alice Cooper as my example. Alice Cooper's been fucking butt ugly for 40 years, and you don't know any difference.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's aged.
Looks exactly the same. Looks like hot garbage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Robert Redford, meanwhile, looks like. I don't know. He looks like something's about to bubble out of him.
Yeah.
He looks like a cracked earth.
But what do you feel
like a goblin army is about to emerge from his face?
Like he looked into the Ark of the Covenant.
Right, right.
But don't you think like Ringo? But Ringo was ugly.
Ringo's ugly.
Ringo was ugly.
Right, right. Ringo looks great.
Ringo looks great.
For being
like
70
Ringo's
years
70
old.
And he looks great. Okay.
Paul looks like an old woman.
Paul looks like an old woman. Okay.
He's a disaster.
Paul was pretty in his day, right?
But even Paul, I know what you mean about Paul.
You look at like. Paul, 1968.
Yeah.
He's dashing and devastatingly handsome.
Right.
Look at him now. He looks like he should be in the Golden Girls. He looks like...
Okay, so Paul looks
higher levels
woman.
Of estrogen.
What about like a Bruce Springsteen? Isn't he held together pretty well?
Bruce Springsteen...
He's not as old as those guys. He's only 64, but...
Bruce Springsteen was never attractive enough. I don't know.
I don't think that... The other thing is, too, is I don't think that Bruce... I know that Paul probably has.
Saying
but there's
Bruce,
a, there's
maybe...
a big difference because I think that... Like, Paul McCartney has had some work done.
Ah, okay.
And when you get work done, you start to get that weird, generic old lady face.
Yeah,
you
okay.
do get the old lady face.
People accuse Bruce of having
See, I think Bruce
done.
Hasn't. Because he
People
still kind of looks just weathered.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Bruce was never really pretty, though. Bruce was never, like...
Yeah, I know what you mean. He was more, like, rough-edged, right. even as a young man.
Yeah.
Like, look at young Robert Redford.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy looks like a painting.
But I mean, like De Niro has aged well because he sort of had that rough look too as a young man. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You could say that about Bruce and De Niro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you look at De Niro in Taxi Driver. He's not handsome.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mel Brooks. Nobody ever looked at Mel Brooks and goes, "Why you fell apart?" Right.
Well, yeah.
Ugly lasts forever.
Woody Allen looks great for his age because he's looked like that for a long time.
The other thing is, too, is I think that we have a skewed sense now.
Hmm.
Like Humphrey Bogart, right?
Okay.
Humphrey Bogart always looked the same.
Yeah.
I think that we forget that there's a lot of people who, like Bogart made his first film when he was 40.
Yeah.
So, like, he was already
He's already kind of old.
Well, he made his first hit when he was 40.
Yeah, right. But he was famous. Yeah. As
but the same thing goes with someone like Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't start doing comedy until she's, what, like 41 or 42 years old? So she's already looks like that.
Okay.
So then you're like, holy crap. Like, because they don't ever age. Yeah. You don't, now we watch our stars grow up. We see them on the fucking Disney show when they're six. Yeah. You know, and then we see him get older, and we're like, oh, that's not going
There's
well.
A good, like, 25, 30-year stretch you can go from your mid-20s to your 50s and look reasonably the same.
Right.
If you're lucky.
Right. Like
Brad Pitt looks good.
See, that's a guy, that's a freak. I don't know.
Yeah, he's weird.
But you know what? What is he, about 50 now?
He's probably late 40s.
I think late
40s. 47.
That cliff is coming.
I can look.
The Brad Pitt cliff is coming.
Yeah,
all right?
He's going to hit it hard, too.
Right.
You can tell, because he was one of those pockmark guys.
Yeah.
And
that stuff's going to crater out. Like.
Speaking of Brad Pitt. Speaking of Brad Pitt.
Let me at least get Brad Pitt's age. He's 49 years old. He's born in 63.
So he's about 50, yeah.
He'll be 50 this year.
Speaking of Brad Pitt, let's have a brief, if we would. I wish we had the Taps music. If we could just have a brief memorial for his wife's beautiful tits.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie lopped those tits off.
Yeah.
Thought it was a joke.
I woke up, saw the news, and I was like, somebody hacked this website or somehow there's bad information. But I guess if you get that gene, it's a gene, right? Is that what it is, John?
Yeah.
You probably know more about it than I do.
And her mom,
there's a gene.
Her mom died early.
That gives you, what, a 90% rate of breast cancer?
It puts you just,
and 50%
it's going to happen.
Of ovarian cancer.
Yeah, like it's going to happen.
Huh. And the idea is if you wait until you see a lump or something,
it's too late.
And they were some nice jugs, so let's give
them. They were.
Right. Let's give those jugs a round of applause.
They'll just rebuild them now. They have the technology to do that now.
Well, they do.
She had a different process. It used to be with a double mastectomy, they would just cut the whole breast off.
What do they do now?
She had this thing where they went in and like scraped them out and then refilled them. I'm not kidding.
It's true.
So she still has her breast, but
yes,
they go in and they take all the plumbing out.
They take the blood vessels and all the stuff.
But again, they're doing some great stuff with reconstructive surgery these days.
And they're doing,
I'm just saying, it's one way or another.
They're doing great stuff with Photoshop.
Oh yeah,
on the internet too.
I don't know what Corey. No,
I never found Angelina Jolie attractive.
Well, if you see some of those movies, some of those early, like wasn't the one Firefox, Corey? Where she's topless, like her first, like she wasn't even a star.
Hackers,
Firefox is one. Foxfire.
Firefox is with Clint Eastwood in 83.
That's a great film.
Go see Foxfire.
Yeah, there you go. See,
she's naked in that.
Yeah.
And,
All right, well, that's what I'm seeing here on the
But she was...
They're quality. They're very
she
quality.
Did some, she did some nudity before she got real famous.
Right.
That was fantastic.
It was before she slept with her brother,
the movie Gia.
Oh,
I've seen the movie Gia.
That was what I was
showing. She played as a model, and she's naked through the whole
That was the first
movie.
Big role for her.
That was maybe what made her a star, and then, you know. But, so Angelina Jolie, no more tits for her.
Wow.
I guess we got to find the new hottest chick in the world.
Do you think Jennifer Aniston's sitting there somewhere going, I told you, motherfucker. Huh? Huh?
Brad, look.
I still got the real naturals.
Brad, I still got
I got
them.
The big naturals, baby.
You know?
Are they bringing the, you guys can tell me this as pop culture aficionados.
Yeah.
Was I wrong in hearing that they're going to fucking bring Friends back?
That was a fake story.
Was it a fake story?
It was a rumor, yeah.
All right.
There's some great fake stories. The other day, I caught wind of
worried
this.
Worried about that.
I had to look into this because there was somebody made a reference. They said that there was a lost episode. There were lost episodes of SNL.
Yeah.
That Dick Ebersol had contractual obligation for a certain number of episodes. And after Billy Crystal left, they had to make three more.
Oh.
And they slapped a cast together with, like, Alex Karras in it.
And they did them? And...
No, it was a spoof. Somebody wrote a whole spoof article. But someone else picked it up as if it was real.
Oh, those bastards.
And it made me go and look for these stupid episodes that don't exist. They were like,
that
Jim
show's
Belushi.
Too well documented. That show.
I'd never heard of it. And I went, what the hell is that?
Someone would have mentioned it.
Someone fell for the spoof. Someone fell for the parody article and referenced it in another
The
article.
Problem with Friends is that I don't think anyone cares enough about Friends to want that back.
Right.
So, you know.
You know, I forgot to mention, too, as we mourn the passing of Angelina Jolie's boobs, can we also celebrate the passing of The Office?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we actually have a show left.
Oh,
so.
You do?
There's
no
more.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's this week, right?
It's this week, so we haven't seen the finale. I've been, because it's funny, if you look on my DVR, anything that's a sitcom, I'm behind three episodes at least.
Right.
But with The Office, I decided I would play catch up because I wanted to see the last one on the week. So I'm up to date to now.
So am I.
And I think they've actually done a reasonably good job with it, although...
I think this season has been far better than most.
It's been better.
Hit and miss.
It's been hit and miss.
But the few seasons before this have been all misses.
The James Spader season
was
an unqualified disaster the whole way.
That was bad.
But I think that the way they're wrapping it up, I like.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm signing off on show.
Right.
The show, certainly since Steve Carell left, and even while he was there, probably wasn't.
Let's not romanticize that there weren't problems when Carell was
there. I understand there were, but I'm also saying that.
Now, this last episode.
I sort of like what they're doing here.
This last episode is supposed to be, 6 months later?
Time jump.
Yeah,
The mini series of The Office, the movie within the movie, has now aired on TV.
Right,
and they're all going to get together because Dwight is marrying Angela.
Right,
and that's what's going to happen on the last show. So,
Is there a cameo from Carell? Is he showing up?
The rumor, you know what? They haven't officially said that. I know he did.
He's in the promos for the reunion.
Is he in the promos? Because I know he did.
Well, they did a reunion.
They did a reunion in Scranton where all the cast got together. And
he
Carell
showed up for
that
and he's in the promo.
Right.
Yeah, and I know Mindy Kaling is in the last one. She came back, although
I have watched The Office for the last 3 years out of obligation.
Yeah,
just out of I don't know
more than actual enjoyment.
Right.
Well, I really, somebody had a list of the best episodes of The Office, and they were really mostly centered in season two and three.
Yeah, I agree. Two and three were great.
Two, three, and maybe four.
Right.
Were when the show was solid gold and it was turning out great episodes. And then it's been kind of coasting for about 4 years.
It has been coasting, and I think a lot of it, I remember those episodes, and even you and I were probably even doing the show back then, and we're talking about it, but I remember going, the best is when they stay in the office.
Absolutely.
That was always the key to that show was if you stay in the office, it's going to be great.
Yeah, you're fine.
As soon as you leave the office and you go to Shrewd Farms or you go to wherever. Yeah. Or
you're at a strip club and now you're at the mall.
It loses,
I know it's a show you guys don't really watch, but this is how I feel about Mad Men. This week's episode of Mad Men was they're merging with another firm and it was a lot of the drama of it was all in the office.
Sure.
And there on that show, whenever they go on weird...
Right.
The first season of Mad Men all takes place in the office.
Pretty much.
And it's fantastic. Yeah. That first season
is
fantastic.
You see a little bit of Homeland.
A little bit, but not much.
If you have to give The Office jumping the shark moment, it might have been when they merged with the other office. That might have been the beginning. The Stanford storyline might have been the end of that show.
When Andy Bernard was maybe the
beginning of the end because you brought in...
Now you're at the second office.
You have a second office, and then those people came in, and they
were... Shrewd Farms was the...
Corey will never...
No, it really was. When they went to Shrewd Farms the first time.
For the first time, when Jim spent the night or whatever.
Jim and Pam, awful.
Jim and Pam spent the night.
Terrible.
Well, getting Jim and Pam together, you could argue, is something that never should have happened.
Should have happened, absolutely.
New Girl has done that now, where they've gotten their
characters
together.
Right.
Yeah. But that show could have been over anyway. I mean, that show...
That was
walking a fine line anyway.
Is that other fucking show on about the two fucking waitresses? Is that still on?
Yeah. Two Broke Girls? Yeah, unfortunately, that's on.
God, what?
God knows
going
who's watching that piece of shit.
But wait, hold on.
What's that, Corey?
Wait, do you hear that?
What's that?
Do you hear the angels? Do you hear do you hear the harp and the trumpets from heaven?
No.
No.
I don't.
Whitney has been canceled.
Yeah, but see. But that was a show that they buried anyway, so it was. You want angels? Save some angels from being in the office. Is anyone else completely bored with Parks and Recreation? Does anyone else find that a joyless mess of television?
It's muddled.
It's exactly the same thing as The Office. It's all taking place other places. Mm-hmm. There's a million other characters.
No idea. Never watched Parks and Rec.
Because really, Parks and Rec, at its best...
Never watched that or Community.
Could have rivaled The Office at its best.
There are some really great episodes of Parks and Rec and great runs.
Yes.
Where they could do no wrong for 8 episodes in a row.
Those are over
that
now.
That show has never been... Parks and Rec has never been as consistent as The Office was in its best
time. It did some stuff that I think rivals The Office.
Is Community over now?
No, Community's
we'll coming
Community.
Back. It got renewed.
It is coming back.
But the thing with Parks and Rec, the first...
Television.
Same thing happened with Parks and Rec that happened in The Office. If you watch the first 6 episodes of the American Office, it's a lot bleaker.
Right.
It's a lot edgier, a little more like the British show.
Dark.
And then they came and retooled it, but it got good. It got really good in 2 and 3. Parks and Rec, that first season, they're all kind of depressed and mopey.
Yeah.
And they're having failed relationships with each other. And it's all, I loved the
but
first
there's
season.
There's
nobody else.
Any
did.
Of those characters. Rob Lowe comes on, and you know exactly what They've he's going to do. Adam Scott is note for note the same every fucking week.
I should
Ron Swanson is the same fucking thing every It's just everybody. You can just, you know, I mean, it's like music, painting by numbers.
I should coin a term for this.
What's that?
It's like the Fonzification.
Kinda.
What they do is every sitcom, if it lasts long enough, they hone every edge off the character. Fonzie started teaching shop class and grew a beard.
Right.
Like, they just take everything good about him and just whittle it down, and they get dumber. We have to come up with a term for that. Every character gets dumber.
Like, there's never
sitcom.
Anything now on Parks and Rec where they sort of, the first season was about they're going to build this park. And there was, but it was a big hole in the ground, but they wanted to make a park out of it. And so there, you had this tension that lasted a whole season. But now these things come up, and these little things, and they have to go in front of city council, and there's no tension whatsoever. You know they're going to resolve it.
Right.
And Leslie Knope is going to get away.
And they're going to win.
And they're going to win. And, you know, all
it
the characters.
It became a show about winners.
And that's where it went wrong. It's
The Office, when it worked at its best, was about the sort of unending Dante-like misery of these people stuck in an office that couldn't get out of it.
Yeah.
And when you start making your characters winners, and Parks and Rec, they get victories all the time, and they feel great about each other. That's what's going wrong with that show.
Yeah, it's
also
just, it's not...
Pawnee is a small town of, I think, about 250,000 people. Because they have, like, everything. They have, like, a...
They do, yeah.
It's like Springfield, where they're, like...
Well,
they got
a gorge. And that's funny in a sense that Springfield can be as big or as small as you want it to be. And it kind of works for that show, but I just... Parks and Rec is just a bore now. And I go... I still watch it. I'm not watching it, but I tune it on, and I go, it's just going to be this... Like, when you see whoever enter... Like, say, you're in Ron Swanson's office, and Ann Perkins... You know exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
Well, and there's no curveballs. There's nobody left on that show.
The problem with Parks and Rec is they have three dead characters who've been dead the whole time.
Right, and then everyone got...
Rashida Jones' character, never been interesting.
Yeah.
Adam Scott's character, by nature, is the boring guy.
But you sort of wanted him and Leslie to hook up, and they've done that now.
And now you don't
And there's
want
nothing
that.
Left
now
there.
Now you want none of that.
Right. Rob Lowe does nothing. He's got to go right now. Get him off that show.
Right. And he's the other dead character. There's no comic
there's
spring
nothing
in that character.
Even Aziz doesn't do anything. Aziz
we're going
is
into
not,
a show that John doesn't watch. But we're really,
that's fine.
Drinking.
I don't care. I watch Hannibal.
The vodka's right up there. So
how is Hannibal? I haven't seen Hannibal.
We haven't seen Hannibal.
I've been watching Hannibal.
How is Hannibal?
I think it's a great show.
Good.
There you go. There's my comment.
But I'm bum.
It's very fucking gory for
is it really?
Television.
Okay.
I mean, they show... Heads being like it's not like Criminal Minds.
Where is that in the in there's an overarching Hannibal Lecter sort of universe?
Hannibal? This is
a prequel
before Red Dragon.
Okay,
so before Manhunter.
Before Manhunter, yeah. Manhunter is Michael Mann's movie,
right?
Where he first appeared,
right?
Even though he was played by the other actor, he wasn't played by Anthony Hopkins.
And then it was remade.
But this
as
is the movie
Red
about
Red Dragon with Anthony.
Brian Cox was in the.
Brian
this is
Cox.
The, this
was
is the television series about the Will Graham,
sure,
the profiler.
Okay,
and his psychologist is Hannibal Lecter.
So this is him. Okay. Yeah,
and he's learning how to get into the minds of serial killers while talking to his psychologist, who's the killer he's looking for.
Okay.
And then there's Bates Motel, which is a prequel to Psycho, but it's set in modern times.
Don't get me started.
But anyway,
on
Hannibal's
that shit.
Hannibal's good. Check.
Hannibal's good. Okay, good. That's a good. Because my problem,
it's got
I think,
one of my favorite actors in it, which is Mars Mixon.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think that's
Hannibal.
His name. Yeah, he plays Hannibal. He's the guy who was the evil villain in Casino Royale.
Okay.
With the dead eye.
Okay.
You remember that? And that James Bond film.
Casino Royale was a good movie.
I think his name is Mars Mikkelsen. Mikkelsen.
My problem is I think there's too many bad sequels to Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
And I don't know how many there are. There's.
I liked Manhunter.
But didn't they do a young Hannibal movie already?
Yes, they did.
That was horrible.
Hannibal
that
Rising
was a disaster.
Or something?
Yeah, that was a disaster.
That was, see, I feel like they've stretched that thing to where I can no longer relate to Silence of
but
the
I
Lambs.
But I just saw that they have a new television show which is almost exactly Hannibal, but it's about terrorists and it stars James Spader.
And like James Spader.
Like Spader is this terrorist that the FBI has been looking for 20 years, and he shows up because he wants to help.
I'm not sure what this is.
He wants to help catch the other terrorists. And so now it's a profiler with a terrorist trying to catch crazy terrorists, where this is a profiler with a killer.
And then Homeland, there's a terrorist infiltrating the, you know.
Well, yeah, Homeland's a good show.
I never mean, watched that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Homeland's a good show.
Actually, I've only seen a couple episodes, but I will go back and watch some more of The Americans.
Yeah, I want to see that. I haven't seen a single second of that. People like that. And,
pretty interesting.
Yeah, good. I want to watch that.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen.
I'm going to try to look at
Mads Mikkelsen.
But anybody watching Game of Thrones in this room besides
me? I don't have a cable.
Okay, but
no
still,
cable.
There's still ways to watch it, and you watch other things.
That is true.
So, because Game of Thrones.
I do pirate a lot. Let me just say that openly on the podcast. I steal a lot of things via the internet.
John steals a lot of shit. It's funny because I'll have cable, and I'll still download shit that I miss.
Right. I don't have internet.
Yeah.
I'm stealing the internet.
And you steal the internet that you
steal other things from.
So there's no trace of you even stealing.
Exactly.
It's the perfect crime.
It is.
Off the grid.
Never sign up for anything, you can get everything.
What's interesting is John's fingertips are completely smooth.
Yeah. I burn them off.
Baby's bottom.
I burn them off every couple of weeks.
Game of Thrones, I must be four episodes behind now.
That's a Dungeons & Dragons show, right?
You know what? It's a fantasy show. They end up beheading
people.
It's
a show with the elves and the magic and the dwarves.
You know what? I find that show...
How did they trick the world into becoming nerds? Whoever is
you know, it's
of
funny
stuff.
Because that show, I think...
Superheroes and
nerds,
dragons.
You were so right.
Nerds like Corey kind of reject Game of Thrones.
I hate it.
But then it's like hipsters and like sort of, you know, people, middle of the road people go, oh, I love that Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So somehow they've made the show...
here's what I say to all you people who watch Game of Thrones out there.
Yeah.
All the housewives.
Yeah, there's a lot of housewives.
All the jocks and all the people who are tweeting about Game of Thrones. Yeah. Where were you
when I needed a 20-sided dice?
Where were you?
Because I had to go and buy a new one. All you new nerds.
When Dragons of Autumn Twilight came out, where were you?
When I needed a new Piers Anthony book.
You guys,
where were you nerds?
You wouldn't know Gary Gygax if he came up and bit you on the nutsack.
Did you read every Xanth book? Where were you,
that's
faggots?
Right.
Where were you?
The thing that they've done is, look, they've taken fantasy... They've given it to adults. Taken it away from children, given it to adults, added tits and lots of blood.
And people are into
it. People are into it now. Although they one thing about
where were they when Chris Claremont left the X-Men?
But here's the thing about Game of Thrones.
Did you read Robert Jordan Wheel of Time books or whatever? What was it?
They've made it so dense.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. They've made it so dense, I think it also sort of doesn't have an appeal to fans because they've made it so dense that it's hard to follow. And that I think is appealing in its own way.
Sometimes people like they want to with TV
it's like
shows.
Confusing for the sake of being confusing.
They want a show that they think they're getting some secret code.
Yeah,
language.
they think like
also
I'm smart because I can watch this, but
right.
The smartest people don't know what's happening either. Like right. I watch that, right. And I would be able to follow
people,
a show, and I would go and read internet theories about plot lines. And Game of Thrones, none of it matters because at the end they cut somebody's head off and you move on.
Half these shows are indecipherable.
Yeah.
I will say what I really like about Mad Men is that we can have a discussion after the show.
Sure.
And I feel like they did put some subtext in the show.
Yeah.
Every show has a general theme it's heading towards.
Yeah.
It is basically about guys drinking scotches
like
in the
Sopranos,
afternoon.
Remember the conversation you used to have of that is like, I wonder what Tony's going to do on the next one. I wonder what this... And because these people seem so real that people would try to, you know, psychologically profile.
Sure.
And that can't happen with Game of Thrones because... A fucking dragon pops out of somewhere and you know, sets a guy on fire.
And there are psychological profiles online for Don Draper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like people are
so
trying
maybe
to
that
out...
show like that is a little. I think personally, for hour long dramas that are serial in nature, I still think Boardwalk Empire is the best one that's airing currently. I stand by that. I think that never has disappointed me. And
I like it. Okay, yeah.
I'll stand by that.
We've talked about
this. I love Homeland. Homeland though has its hills and valleys. Homeland's a great show. But it hasn't been Boardwalk Empire consistent.
They tricked everybody into being nerds. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
they really
but it's
did.
But it's
amazing to me because the whole thing, and I just had a discussion with this about my friend, Marvel's Endgame, and this was our topic of conversation. Marvel's Endgame was to be Disney. Fuck where the characters come from. We just want properties to own that people will buy into. And they've done it.
You know what, I would say no.
The comic book industry is dead. No one is buying comic books.
That's what's happening with Star Wars.
But Iron Man is the major motion picture of the year so far.
The comic books basically exist now.
$5 for a comic book. A single comic.
Between the average one is $3 and then $4 on some of them. Yeah.
Okay.
So It's true. And there are $5 comic books. And that better be like a $5 milkshake. It better be a fucking good comic book.
Yeah, but it's not.
But
most of them aren't.
The comics do serve basically primarily as a feeder for new properties or maintaining intellectual properties. It's a weird business. But it's, you're right. They tricked everybody into being a nerd.
They sort of have. They sort of made these shows that...
Yeah.
While they would have nerd appeal, they make them in a certain way where now... People...
And real nerds are still nerds. They're still outcasts from the rest of society.
You're going to... John will be appearing at the Novi Comic Con.
I'll be at the Motor City Comic Con this Friday, Saturday,
and the real
Sunday.
Nerds will be there. If you're looking for real nerds...
There'll be less real nerds this year.
You think?
I know. There have been less
there'll
real
be more,
nerds over
you're
the
saying
past
they're
few.
Becoming We've more, even this. The conferences are becoming we, more
there
mainstream.
There were never... I know that this is controversial for people to say.
Yes.
There were never cute nerd girls. there weren't. There
John
was. They were
a
misnomer.
This,
there was one in the country back in the 80s.
But you're
That's
saying
it.
You're saying the girls that go there now are the same reason girls... would go to the beach in the 80s or wherever, the roller rink. It's just become where you go if you're a girl and you want attention
I'll tell
from
you
boys.
This.
Yep.
This is the thing. John and I know this because we are nerds and have been nerds our whole lives. When John had a Japanese toy store in the mid-90s, we would go. We would sit there and watch anime and shit and like try and figure it out. We were never as into it as the customers that would come in and annoy us. With like, do you remember what Akira said to Hikamaka in episode 72 of Bubblegum Crisis? Like, no, because we're going to go out and try and get some pussy after this.
Right.
But we think the stuff looks cool.
Yeah.
But we used to go to Comic-Con, and I remember this. They had an anime room, and a lot of the guys used to shop at your store.
Yeah.
There was like an anime club, and they would come in and annoy the living shit out of us. And they had a room at the Comic-Con, and one year we went. And we started seeing for the first time, this is probably about 97.
Yeah.
We started seeing girls showing up in like Sailor Moon costumes.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were bringing their dumb jock boyfriends who weren't into the comics.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And the anime guys were all sitting in the same room watching the same fucking dopey anime. They're watching Neon Genesis Evangelion. And we're sitting there going, there's girls here. But they weren't the girls didn't want any part of the nerds.
Yeah, that's
so now
they wanted
more...
to be able to dress up in cute costumes.
Sure.
And look sexy.
Yeah.
And have people pay attention to them.
That's kind of what it's always been about for girls.
You know what? You know what it is?
So.
Comic-Cons are for low-hanging sluts. Those are for sluts that can't compete in the real market. They go to the Comic-Con, right?
I saw last year at the Comic-Con, I saw a girl who was 13, at least, no older than 13 years old, dressed up as the character from Fifth Element.
Okay.
With the white tape.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
a 13-year-old girl wearing
now,
nothing but white tape
so
and an orange
wig. Are you
wig.
Saying these girls now, your example of Corey the anime, girls are there with their jock boyfriends. What are these girls really looking to get laid? Are they hooking up with guys?
No, they're just dressing up and
they're
being
just
funny.
To just be cute and play dress
funny
up
and have people fawn
and then
over
they,
them.
But do they get meet guys there?
No.
Do they have a boyfriend somewhere
Usually.
Else? So their boyfriend is like selling used cars somewhere while she's
right.
at the...
No, they brought their boyfriend who's into MMA.
But I'm saying now...
They drag him to the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Oh.
But now, it's girls who are... I don't know. I'm going to get in trouble for all of this.
Go ahead. Please say
No, I'm just saying, there are girls who just want to be fawned over.
They
want to
be photographed and they want to get
for sure.
Twitter followers or whatever it is and... Facebook friends.
Yeah, I have
thing.
A friend who does comic conventions, and no one goes to see him. Like he's just a, he's just an artist of
he's
like
a comic
small
artist.
Comic,
yeah, sure.
right?
Yeah, right.
But what he does is he'll go online, and he'll find a cute girl, and say like, listen, I need to draw people to my table.
That's interesting.
I have a Supergirl outfit.
Sure.
If you wear this Supergirl outfit. Thousands of people take pictures of you all weekend long.
Yeah.
And if you have a business that you're promoting Etsy site or something like that, pass out your business card to him.
So that they'll stand by his table.
Never been turned down.
If you went,
and they'll stand by his table and
all weekend long.
Bring people in and he's selling his tchotchkes
or
whatever.
If you went to a comic book convention in like 1993, the only girls that would be there would be the wives of the owners of the stores.
Okay.
And they would usually put a chick behind the booth so that the guy would go, hello. Ding, ding.
Yeah.
Or it would be a paid model like the Vampirella girl. Who'd walk around in a Vampirella costume. There are now women that go to these things, but it's not like a pussy bonanza. You're right. This is an example of a girl
Sorry
I know
about that.
Who's
Corey.
Into like Transformers and anime.
That's
okay?
good. That's good.
Now,
Even I can't see this at home, people.
I'll show. Yeah, I'll show.
That's how inside this podcasting is.
All right, this is a nice looking girl.
Can you describe the girl to people at home, Corey?
She's very plain Jane, right? I mean,
very plain Jane.
Describe the girl, Corey. She's plain Jane.
She's a brunette. I don't want to give away her identity.
Well, tell, like, nobody cares.
She's a brunette, you know, regular height. Anyway, she's real into this shit.
Right.
And I think that's because
brunette, big smile, dark eyes.
Do we have pictures of her cosplaying? Is that what we're
she's wearing a Megatron shirt here.
Right, anyway, no one can see that.
I'm just showing John as an example.
Yeah.
This is the kind of girl that now she goes to the Comic-Con, that's a hot piece of ass.
Right.
If she goes to a
if you're a four.
But you're saying that girl isn't into, like, if a guy tries to pick her up at Comic-Con, it doesn't work, though.
No, I think she would get picked up.
She would get picked up.
I know this girl, she's a little weird, and I think she does like cartoons and stuff.
Okay.
But for her, the Comic-Con is a smorgasbord of dicks that will not satisfy her. whereas in the market, if she goes to the bar, right?
Right.
If she goes to like the bar and
if you're
on a
four,
Friday night,
if you're a four at the bar, right?
You go, how many points do you get at
the
Comic-Con?
A Transformers T-shirt on. That's a little tight on your boobies.
Sure, yeah.
You go to the Comic-Con, you're a 12.
All right.
I'm serious.
Look.
I'll be at the Comic-Con this weekend.
She knew a guy drew a picture of her as an anime style.
Yeah, of course.
She's like a goddess to them.
What else you got over there, Joel?
Well, I want to get into some other shows, some stuff that I've seen. Let's get into these then. Because I think I'm the only one who's seen this, but I know you have thoughts just on in principle, John. But I watched the show Marin on IFC. This is Mark Maron's.
Yeah.
Sitcom is half hour, single camera.
How is it?
Sitcom.
Unwatchable, the way his podcast is unlistable.
All right, now calm. Let me go first, John. I watched two episodes.
Okay. You gave it a good chance.
The first episode, I downloaded these because I don't get the high definition version of IFC.
Right.
And I wanted to watch them in HD because I have a big fucking giant TV.
Right.
So I downloaded the HD versions from the internet. So sue me. I do have IFC. It comes into my house. I choose not to watch it because it's standard definition, and I'm a snob like that.
IFC in standard def, too.
And I don't think anyone even gets it in HD, but somebody must because it ends up on the websites, on the newsgroups.
So they make the episodes in HD, and then they air them.
And they air them on SD because they don't have HD. Sorry. Show one, good premise. He goes after... Mark Maron on the show is this basically playing himself.
Right.
He's a failed comic who's doing a podcast in his house.
Right.
And he has famous friends that come by to do the show with him occasionally. So episode one, he wants to find a Twitter bully. A guy's going on his Twitter and saying, Mark Maron, you're not funny, blah, blah, blah. So Mark Maron has Dave Foley over as a guest from Kids in the Hall. Dave Foley gets drunk because Maron was out doing something. Maron, while he's passed out, Maron starts Googling this guy, stalks him, finds out he's going to be in town, and goes and confronts the bully. That's the show.
Okay.
Which is a great premise.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Foley's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Very poorly executed first episode.
Okay.
I'm giving it my thumb is in the middle because it's a funny premise, and I like Mark, and I like Dave Foley.
Right.
And I like the premise of the Twitter bully. But it didn't come together for me.
Okay.
If this compared to something like Curb Your Enthusiasm, it's not even in the same ballpark.
Right.
And that is really the comparison. It's
right. But let me give you.
It's kind of like Louis.
I'm not done.
I'm just saying thematically.
Second episode comes around, and they sort of dropped a lot of the show business angle. Like he's interviewing Dennis Leary.
Okay.
That's sort of the setup. Dennis Leary, I think, is the executive producer of the show as well, so there's a connection there. But Leary's on, and they see Leary doing the podcast. And then it ends up where just Mark needs to hire an assistant, his nephew. He hires his nephew to be his assistant, and his nephew has to help him around the house. So they took out a lot of the show business stuff, and it was really funny. So I'm thumbs up on episode two.
All right.
So I don't know if they tried to make it by making it too inside. Maron's not a great actor. I mean, let's all agree on that. You know, any comic.
Are you saying his work in such comedy classics as
I don't know, but I'm saying, you know, whenever you get like a Larry David who's not really, you know what I mean, the guys are unknown.
What are you trying
actors,
to say? I'm not a great actor.
They sort of have one
say?
Note,
right?
And they did, but this one was just a nice little sitcom, and it all took place pretty much in Mark's house, And it was very funny. And there was, like, Leary did do a walk-on, but it wasn't long. It wasn't even a memorable part of the episode. They had a real actor playing his nephew. It wasn't, like, his real nephew.
Right.
The kid could act a little bit. I'm in for the third one. Now, I haven't seen the third episode yet, but I'm watching.
Judd Hirsch plays his dad.
Yeah, I haven't seen him yet. His mom was on.
Oh, my God.
I heard
it's going to be like I'm watching Numbers. Fucking Marin and Judd Hirsch. Well, it's going to be like
He said they had to tell Judd Hirsch to be meaner.
Yes.
The Judd Hirsch was too nice, and they were instructing him the direction.
They're
going to
tell,
like,
Dear John to be meaner.
Yeah, they were like, Judd, can you be a little more of a dick in this?
Not a fan of Marin in any way, shape, or form.
No.
This is a weird thing.
This comes from me, who can't listen to my own podcasts because they're so terrible. Man. Can't listen to them.
Sally Kellerman is the mom on episode. I was trying to remember.
Wow, Sally Kellerman.
Sally Kellerman.
Now, if you look at Mark Maron
so
and you look at Judd Hirsch, you go, I could see where that would happen.
Sally Kellerman is.
Sally Kellerman doesn't look like his mom, but anyway.
But she was on. I mean, it's a lot of it. A lot of Maron takes place where he's calling people.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to be a thing where there's like a lot of phone.
Right.
Like, Sally Kellerman and Mark are not on there together, but he's talking to her.
Here's the thing.
I like episode two. Episode three is already aired. I haven't seen it yet. So I'm giving it a thumbs up based on episode two. First episode kind
of
shit.
I haven't watched any of it.
Could still go either way. But you hate Marin.
I haven't watched any of it, but I'm willing to give it a thumbs down.
Corey, give us your thoughts. Corey's.
I unfortunately have not seen the show.
Yeah.
I have seen Mark Maron do every interview show he can get on promoting.
He also wrote a book that he's promoting.
Right.
He's got a book. He was on Howard Stern for like an hour and a half.
I think the book is a collection of essays.
The thing that I like about Maron, and it's weird, and I also feel weird because I've met Mark,
mm-hmm.
and he gave me cookies, and was very nice to me.
Sure.
So I now am in a weird position. And the same thing with Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
I was watching that show.
We'll get to her show.
And I worked with her.
Yeah.
And so I'm going, it's weird now where you actually kind of meet these people sometimes,
yeah.
and you see them on TV. I would say one thing that bothers me about Mark is, if you really step back, is he all that funny when he, like, what I like about him is he's willing to address the beef that he has with people. Like, he's been talking about how Jon Stewart doesn't like him. That's funny to me.
I think.
But how often does Mark Maron just make you laugh?
I think the thing with Maron is what people like about him is that he talks about things. He'll talk about sort of, stuff like behind closed doors stuff.
Right.
And he does it in an accessible way that people can get into.
That's the appeal of his podcast.
Right. I think that's the appeal of his podcast. I think that's where
the best episodes of his podcast are about
He sees the absurdity in show business and sort of puts it out there and does it in a way that seems likable. He seems to be grateful for whatever fans he has as well.
Don't like anything about him.
You don't like his. You've never listened to a show.
Oh, I have.
But you've never, like, you did him with Norm Macdonald, and you thought that wasn't good or that wasn't funny.
There's something that as a person who talks a lot,
yeah,
and I have no secrets about my life. Like, I'll talk about anything.
Sure,
I find what he does boring. Because I think...
You think he's holding back?
No, I just think that some of it's contrived to a certain point.
Ah.
And I think that he's found his character, which is being this guy who's will talk about things that are behind closed doors and so forth. But I still think it's a character that he's playing.
Well, I've found that his show, as the podcast has progressed, there the occasional episode that's just real, you're really into it and it's interesting. Because the person is like Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
Jimmy Walker was willing to just talk about all the shit that, went on behind the scenes.
Right.
And the bad blood.
Yeah.
Other times, Maron doesn't really push the people and lets them sort of
do what they
tell their own narrative.
Around.
And he's not really that great an interviewer.
Yeah.
It's weird. Some people get comfortable with him and just are willing to open up. And other people, he doesn't bring it out of them.
I think there's something about Mark in that he has sort of a name in comedy that other comics are more likely to open up with him.
Yeah.
And I think that the show really depends upon how good the guest is. I think Maron, when left to his own devices, is interesting, but not in a mainstream way. I think he's interesting. I think he's an NPR level talker. I think that he's going to get that type of person that likes what he does. But I think the reason more people have gravitated is that he has good guests that are funny.
He gets everybody. Everybody.
Right. He gets everybody, and when they
and
get
you know
him
why
on,
guys come on
do...
there because a guy like Ben Stiller comes on there.
Yeah.
And he's not jealous of Mark Maron's career.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no power struggle because Mark Maron was a washout almost on the out of show business like you and I.
Yeah.
And we're a cunt hair away from oblivion.
There's
And, you know.
I think the thing, he gets into people. I think people like that when they hear his interview. It's better than when the guy gets on Leno. Because when the same guest on Leno, they don't talk about anything. And it's over in 5 minutes. And Maron will let guys talk for an hour.
Those are on the best Maron.
But the reason any podcast is good or a radio show is because at a certain point it devolves into normal conversation.
Exactly.
And anyone can do that.
But not anyone can do it. Anyone can do it, but people don't do it because they suck.
Yes.
And Mark, that means Mark doesn't suck.
Nah.
By your own definition.
And I'll tell you what, as a stand-up, I saw Mark recently, and not that many months ago, and I thought he was pretty good stand-up.
Right,
it's a different style.
But he's not a shticky comic.
He's a story guy
when he's on the podcast, though. He's not doing shtick.
No, I'm just saying
he's not doing material.
Okay, if you listen to like Adam Carolla's show,
yeah,
and you don't have to be a big fan of Adam Carolla, but I find that Adam Carolla says funny stuff a lot.
Sure, I agree.
He'll make his observations and shit. He'll just in the course of
Carolla's funny.
In the course of a conversation, he's funny. This is a thing, and I'm being unfunny right now, but I often think about this. There's a difference between comics who go on stage and have a whole crafted act, and then there's guys who are just natively funny.
Yeah, sure.
And I have generally more respect for guys that are just natively funny.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. Just knowing comics, and I always know, and there's guys, there's one guy recently that you and I have talked about in this, where a guy, you know, like, I always hear this, you know, this guy's going to L.A., or this guy's going to New York, and I go... And there's one guy, and I go, that guy's going to be a big star. He's going to L.A. And I go, yeah, but you can't talk to that guy.
Right.
Because I've always said that, like, when you talk to that guy, it's not fun. Mm-hmm. And me and Corey, we do this all the time when we talk about guests coming on. And Corey will say, what about this guy? And I go, but I talked to that guy, and it's not funny. So I feel like that, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, part of being successful in comedy is having that persona where you can can go on and be funny spontaneously.
Part of being successful in anywhere is being personable.
Yeah.
And being able to talk honestly to someone.
So maybe
and not
Maron's
look like you're dealing for a fucking network show.
So maybe that's why Maron has had more success in being himself and being spontaneous rather than going on stage and talking to people about
it. My problem is I think he at some point... realized that that's who he needed to be.
Yeah,
and so now it's contrived.
He doesn't need to be, you know, not everyone's going to be Chris Rock or Jerry Seinfeld and make everybody laugh all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be a guy. Most people are going to have a niche. They're going to have somewhere where they fit in. They'll have their fans. They'll be funny to them, but it's not a guy that you're going to, you know, tell your friends at work the next day what Mark Maron said in his stand-up. That may not come out.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's definitely not.
He's not that guy.
Well, but
there's not a lot of those guys. There's a reason why those guys are famous.
Yeah.
Because they do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watch Eddie Murphy, the early Eddie Murphy, and you could not tell people
about
that.
You ever watch an interview with Eddie Murphy?
Sam Kinison.
He doesn't do very many. He doesn't do very many, but you ever watch an interview with Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, a few.
It's dire.
Yeah, I know. But I'm talking back then, his stand-up was, he was one of those guys. When you saw the Eddie Murphy thing, you go, oh my God, did you see that Eddie Murphy thing talking about the ice cream man? It's the fucking greatest thing ever.
Right.
Or Sam Kinison talking about why people live in the desert. Not everybody can write that stuff that resonates with
Sam
them.
Was the guy that was funny all the time.
Though. Right. Sam was. But I'm saying as a stand-up, you know, those guys have that thing.
I'm saying it counts in the hallway just as much as it does on the stage in a weird way.
It's starting to more because there is the proliferation of talk shows and podcasts and that. Mm. And that's why when we talk about, oh, this guy's going to L.A., he's going to be a big star. And I go, hey, that guy's not funny.
But
off
what
do
you guys? If
mic.
You guys, I have this question because I do listen to a lot of comedy podcasts, and I know you guys, and I know other comedians and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you have this idea of like, well, I'm going to do my comedy, and if the people get it, like, then they get it. If they don't, then they don't.
Yeah.
What happened to being just fucking funny to everybody?
It's just hard because when you have to be it's funny to everybody, then you're a hack because you're talking about traffic. And you're talking about, you know, I mean, it just...
I have more respect every day for, like, that kind of artistry that you can just make everybody laugh.
Make everyday things.
Yeah. But it's not hack. If you listen to Bill Cosby, his shit's really well crafted and written, and it's accessible to everybody.
If you want to talk about, you know, the difference between first class and coach, everyone can relate.
Right.
You're not going to sound like a very good comic in front of most people doing that shit. And that's sort of why there's comics who, you know, you don't, if you want to be original, you just don't even write that.
Right. And Mark Maron is of that personal neurosis brand of comedy. Richard Lewis was
Woody Allen, Richard Lewis. Yeah.
Woody Allen was, well, Woody, though, did more punchline shit.
Sure, he did that. Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, Richard Lewis was more that kind of confessional.
Yes.
I'm a mess. He was like an early pioneer of that, and that's what Mark Maron is part of that train, which is different from ba-dum-bum, ching-ching-ching.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the passing of Jonathan Winters?
We didn't.
I'm going to say everything I need to say about it right now.
All right.
So let's talk about Inside Amy Schumer, guys. What do you want to go? Have you seen it yet?
You didn't like Jonathan Winters?
You know what? It just, I'm not, look, I'm first of all, I'm too young to appreciate Jonathan Winters. Jonathan Winters got big in like the late 60s. I wasn't even born yet.
Right.
And I don't think if you listen to like a Jonathan Winters record right now, you would laugh at it. I just think that some of that stuff just gets dated, and what people liked in comedy a million, you know, back then is not the same thing that works now.
I used to like him when I was a kid, and he would be on
talk shows. Yeah. Because I remember I'm on Mork and Mindy, and he was fine on that, but it was still never.
But I think if you watch his old clips and everybody talks about how brilliant he was,
yeah,
like sitting with Jack Parr.
Yeah.
That stuff has lost context a little bit.
Right, yeah. But I'll watch old, because when I was reading Comedy on the Edge or Comedy at the Edge, and they were talking about Pryor's, Pryor on Mike Douglas, I would look those up on YouTube, and those were great still today.
Mm.
So that stuff works. I just think Jonathan Winters, I'm just not, there's something about him that I just don't get.
Yeah.
There's stuff that, like, I'm too young to get, like, a lot of that, like, early SCTV stuff. Like, I never got that.
Really?
I was a little too young for that. Yeah. There's guys that used to play me the, the Lemmings record. Remember a guy used to put that on, and we'd go to parties, and a guy would put that on.
Really?
And there'd be guys laughing their fucking asses off, and I'd be sitting there like, I don't get this at all. Like, I don't know what's
funny about this.
Well,
you didn't listen to the credibility gap with Harry Shearer?
Right, exactly, all that stuff.
I think I was a little too young for
I'm too young for this.
Fireside Theater.
Never understood Fireside Theater.
I never got it for a second. See, I'm old enough to have gotten, like, not necessarily the news.
I like not necessarily the news.
And if you show it to me now, I'd probably
Stuart Pankin,
like,
crack me up.
All those guys. I mean, I loved all those guys. Rich Hall. Sniglets. I mean, all that stuff worked for me.
That's funny. I used
Letterman.
The Sniglet.
Can't even say Sniglets.
I used the Sniglet the other day.
Sure.
Because there was a clue in trivia about Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, yeah, it's the thing you get in your fingers when you eat too many Cheetos.
Right, okay.
Which is a Sniglet.
Sure.
Cheadle,
yeah.
Cheadle is actually a Sniglet.
But here's the thing. Letterman.
John's cracking up over
here. But say, Corey, for me, this is my age. Letterman. That's the beginnings of comedy to me. Like, when Letterman was on doing The Late Show, I was old enough. I was like 10 or 11 years old.
I was in immediately.
So that
I watched that.
But even SNL, I'm too young to have remembered. Like Belushi and Aykroyd, that stuff was on. I mean, Corey, you weren't even born yet when you weren't born until season four of SNL.
No,
whatever,
I'm the same age as SNL.
SNL was on in 72, wasn't it?
No, 75.
75, okay.
But
I'm still like, you know what I mean? I don't remember SNL in 75.
I remember SNL in the 70s.
Eddie
Murphy. Right, yeah, exactly. I remember the Eddie Murphy stuff.
But for me, the stuff,
if it came before Letterman, and I think Letterman was not just he was of that time, he also revolutionized a lot of that comedy.
Right.
And not necessarily the news revolutionized, I think, a lot of that comedy.
But, you know, some of that spoof stuff is just funny because it's different.
Right.
We're talking about Maron and his appeal, the behind the backstage.
Yeah.
That's because TV, if you watch, it's all kiss-assy, suck-up-y.
Yeah.
But I think we're getting farther away from that because the guys that were really revolutionary were coming out of the 60s.
Yeah.
But if you look at, like, TV, you think our TV now is all phony and polished and bullshitty. Yeah. Look at some shit from... You know, whatever.
Right, but then there was Norman Lear stuff, which was breaking the barrier.
That's actually edgier than shit we have now.
It's edgier than shit we have now.
You couldn't have those shows.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, Good Times and All in the Family were...
You start talking about Puerto Ricans and shit on TV now, and they would burn you at the
stake. So it's a weird thing. So Jonathan Winters, just to answer your question, whatever. I don't hate the guy.
Right.
I don't really have much of an opinion.
I remember him on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
It'll be too bad that he won't be able to show up with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show and Seth Meyers on The Late Show.
Boy, do you want to get into that fucking... First of all, this is my theory, and me and Corey always... one of our favorite topics... If you look back on every show you and I have ever done, the topic of the late night wars might be the number one topic of all time on this show.
Titties and late night wars.
But I've come to a conclusion.
Hold on.
Okay.
titties, late night war. Let me wait. Here's the titty. Let me weigh that.
Sure.
And then, no, I think late night is a little
late night has
tits.
Gotten out of titties.
Yeah.
My theory that I came up with is that people always said, would Jimmy Fallon make it? Would this guy make it? Would that guy make it? And my feeling is everybody always makes it. Now, Conan's the exception because that was a weird thing with Leno. But my feeling is they don't throw these guys off of their shows.
Pat Sajak.
Okay, but that he
Let
never
name
got,
some guys who
but he never
it.
Got the NBC. We're talking about the Tonight Show in particular. You know, the thing with Conan and, you know, Letterman didn't get the Tonight Show, but Letterman got his own thing, and Letterman's been on forever, and they're not throwing Letterman off. You know,
Are they going to throw Ferguson off? What is going on?
I don't think
show?
They will, because the
he
guy
seems to just not care.
But the guy before him, they show. Never threw off. The guy that had
that
the Daily
Craig
Show
Kilborn.
Before, they never
yeah,
threw
Craig
off.
Kilborn.
They never throw this guy off. They Craig, really Craig don't.
Right. Craig Kilborn asked for more money.
Yeah, I know.
And CBS went, fuck you. We could put a test pattern
so,
on.
Right.
My feeling is like, God, when I watch Jimmy Fallon, and I've gone through many stages with this Jimmy Fallon late night show, I've been hating it. It was the worst thing on television, to just accepting that it was on, and recently back to completely fucking hating it.
Right.
Completely watching when they had, who was on the last night? Somebody I liked was on, some actor or something, and he was going to make them play fucking cornhole or something. I go, what? Why would you humiliate a celebrity
right.
into playing some dumb fucking game with you, Jimmy? You have nothing better. You have this guy that you could think of 50 questions, all great,
right.
that would take up that 5-minute segment that you want to play, you know, pin the tail on the donkey with somebody with.
Right.
What the fuck is your problem? So I actually like Jimmy Fallon less than I've ever liked Jimmy Fallon in my entire life right now.
That's because late night talk shows are not designed for good interviews. They are designed to sell product. They are designed.
Okay.
They don't book guests. The guests come on there. The publicists funnel all the guests on those shows because whatever movie's out this week.
I get that.
Hey, Chris Pine from Star Trek, you're on this week.
I get that, but why is it that?
And they're all bad interviews.
Letterman will do a good interview. Conan will do a good interview. Even Leno. On a good day, Leno can have a funny segment with a celebrity sitting on the couch.
In the history,
on a good day.
In the history of late night talk shows, going back to Steve Allen,
right?
Two guys are famous for doing interviews.
Sure.
Jack Parr and Letterman.
Sure.
None of the other guys are known as interviewers.
But Snyder did. Snyder did a long form show, but Snyder was interesting.
But nobody thinks of Tom Snyder.
No, but I watched Tom Snyder and Alfred Hitchcock the other day.
Right.
From the Tomorrow Show.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay,
it's on YouTube.
Dick Cavett. Excuse me.
Dick Cavett. Okay. So I think there is a thing, but my feeling is Jimmy Fallon just has these people on, and it's just like,
hey, buddy, the worst part about Jimmy Fallon,
I feel like when Carson was on, like every now and then he would have a star do something silly and take part in a skit, like they do some kind of game show or something like that. But the thing with Carson doing it was that you never knew who was going to do something wacky.
Yeah.
Because it didn't happen every night.
Right.
When you watch Jimmy Fallon, now you got to watch someone.
You know something wacky.
And Letterman will do skits with Tom Hanks where he comes out of the crowd. And that's weird. But my feeling is, you know, Johnny used to also let the guests come on. And the guests could do what the guests wanted. And Jimmy and Johnny would play straight man for them.
For sure.
And they would tell their funny stories.
Well,
watch, you know,
Johnny
watch
show,
Rodney on Carson or something like that.
Carson was almost never known for good interviews.
Right.
Because it was a party atmosphere.
But
people came on.
It was
just kind of, you know.
To watch the celebrities on
there. Well, he kept everybody on the couch at once.
Yeah.
You would just move down. And so it would be like Bob Hope could be third on the couch.
Sure, I get that.
On The Tonight Show.
Right.
And everybody else now, they come out, they sit at one at a time, and they leave. And it's all.
But when they come on, my feeling, it's the same thing I felt about Regis.
It's publicists.
Regis Philbin, that show with Regis, the Kathy Lee into the Kelly era, they had the greatest lineup in the history of talk shows ever for guests. You can't tell me anyone ever had better. They would have three movie stars that would be first guest on late
night. People who don't do any other
anything,
talk shows.
He would get them on, but they say nothing. And when they're on Jimmy Fallon, it's like they're not. There's nothing you look on Fallon and go, I need to see that.
That's because
shows you know what Fallon's going to do with him.
Those
shows they're not going to do anything.
Shows
with
are run by publicists. That's
but it's because
it
Jimmy sucks, though.
By the way,
it's because Jimmy sucks.
Speaking of Regis,
my feeling is they could get somebody that would be good, But they don't. They get Jimmy.
Jimmy's to the point now where if he wanted to interview people, he can do anything he wants to.
He can do what he wants, but he can't because Jimmy can't do those things.
Right.
Jimmy is incapable of being interesting.
Right.
He's incapable. He's just not an interesting
person. Here's the best part about Jimmy Fallon.
He's just not.
When his friends come on, when like Tina Fey or Amy Poehler or Bill Hader or somebody he worked with comes on, hey, pal, remember that time remember that time you got the latte and the foam got on your nose? That was great.
Yeah.
I'm fucking how fucking interesting is that?
You just, I want to know that, you know, and you can tell when Letterman has somebody on that he doesn't like or he doesn't know. Like if a band comes on Letterman and Letterman doesn't know the band, Letterman doesn't sit there and suck their fucking nuts. But Jimmy acts like he's a big, huge fan of everybody that's on the show.
Here's
everybody's movie he comes on is great. And I know that's part of playing the game.
Here's what Dave does, which is interesting. Dave is now, George Miller's dead.
Okay.
But Dave's had about the same six comics.
No, I know.
From the Comedy Store.
Sure.
Who he met in 1975.
Right.
Who've been on, he's had them on the show.
God, did I love George Miller.
George Miller?
Right. Yeah. George Miller was like Letterman's best friend.
Sure.
They lived together in an apartment building on Sunset. But it's like guys whose careers are long dead still get on Letterman.
Yeah.
Jeff Altman.
Yeah.
Tom Dreesen.
Jake Johansson. Tom Dreesen.
Tom Dreesen. Yeah.
There's Johansson's still alive?
Yeah, Jake Johansson's still alive. Dom Irrera, I think.
Right. So these are his old buddies from
Jimmy
the Comedy
Walker,
Store.
He has on.
So that is kind of funny to me that these guys that the audience has literally no fucking idea who Tom Dreesen is. Who Tom Dreesen was Sinatra's opening act for like.
Does Jake Johansson still look like Buddy Holly?
No, Jake Johansson looks completely different.
All right, because for a long time, Buddy Holly.
Jake Johansson.
You remember that when he had a curly.
Well, I saw.
He looked like Busey as Buddy Holly.
We talked about this on the show, but I watched a 10-year-old. It was the 10th year anniversary of the Young Comedian special on HBO.
Yeah.
Jake Johansson was one of the young. It was five stars, which was like Robin Williams.
It was
Howie
a life
Mandel.
Changer for me.
And they brought
back Jake Johansson now. Young, he's got a soul.
Yeah, Jake Johansson now you wouldn't recognize. But anyway,
looks like Mark Maron.
Yeah, Jake Johansson looks like a regular guy. He no longer looks like trying to be an 80s hipster or something.
He went through periods because he had a. This is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Buddy Holly hair.
Buddy Holly, Harry Connick Jr.
You know,
look.
I'm willing to do the history of Jake Johansson's looks on a major network talk show.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants.
Let's put that
Hit
together.
Hit me up. Go to joelradio.net.
I got
to
say, though, Jake
Send
Johansson
me a message.
Looks pretty good for his
He does
age.
Look good. Yeah. He's held up well.
So anyway, let's. So Maron is good. Getting back to that.
No.
Maron,
no,
the show.
No, I hate
the show Maron, quote unquote Maron.
Right.
The television show on IFC.
Joel says
is good.
Thumbs up.
Would you like to take the episodes home with you for evaluation?
No.
I'll give you the shows.
I'm not even going to give it a chance.
I give to you the shows.
Not even going to give it a
chance. I give them to you,
the guy
John
is
Tenney.
Garbage.
All right.
I'm not into
All
him.
All right.
Throw him in the river.
So you're telling me Tenney, the 30-minute sitcom, is going to be delightful. The look at the paranormal investigator.
Yeah.
The fly on the wall.
How much more fucking interesting.
Fly on the wall mock documentary called Tenney.
Listen, a guy goes
to comic conventions.
How much more
you're telling
interesting.
Telling me that's not going to be
how much,
good?
How much
that's going to be a fucking great show?
How much more interesting than another fucking, here's my real life, I'm a comic. Right?
Oh, I'm a ghost hunter. There's not enough fucking shows with those guys on.
They're all positioned one way. But wait, Maron's sitcom is different because it's a show that really doesn't have a story, but it's about a comedian. Wow.
You could watch
Seinfeld?
Show. I'd have
Isn't
respect.
That fucking Seinfeld?
If you want to watch the show and dump on it, I'll respect that. But if you're not going to watch the show and you're just going to dump
I will
on
watch
it,
an episode.
Dumping
I will
on
put
it.
Two TVs on. I'll put an episode of Louie on one TV and an episode of Seinfeld on the other, and then I'll tell you I've seen The Marriage.
All right. Well, listen.
Louie is, he actually makes it look interesting. Being a comic, I will say.
I've never seen Louie.
Never seen Louie?
But I'm not going to trash it either just because I haven't seen it.
Louis's great.
Yeah, people tell me that. Although Louis C.K., his stand-up, and I know that there's fans of it. It's just, to me, there's something about there's something about Louis C.K. that I find is sort of a default comedy thing. Like, he's really good, but I don't know what his point of view is, I think. And maybe that's that I don't watch it enough, but I like the comedian that has a point of view, and I feel like Louis C.K.
Louis's point of view is, isn't it all absurd?
Okay, yeah, I don't know.
Leno, I was reading, speaking of comedy books, I just read I'm Dying Up Here.
It's a great book.
Which is about the Comedy Store strike, ostensibly.
It's the best book if you want to find out that era about comedy.
Speaking of Tom Dreesen.
I'm Dying Up Here is the best.
Who wrote that?
Look. William Koldesiker or something.
Nodal Sater.
Yeah.
He's Jewiest name.
He's like, I think
Hi, I'm Myron Finkelberg.
He was the LA, he was the LA Times comedy columnist in that era, so he's from.
He used to be
a super
those
funny
guys.
Guy, yeah. too.
Yeah. He knew those guys.
There's
back
a sitcom
then.
Coming out called Koldeslinger.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's a mock documentary. Sure. They follow around
everybody,
a newspaper
everybody
reporter.
That's a comedian is going to have and this real life. We'll put it on independent film channel near Portlandia because
right
kids will dig the
right.
the weirdness.
I was going to announce this later.
On
but...
the all-new Pete Holmes sitcom.
I'm sure that's coming.
Pete struggles with his feelings about the new Dorito logo.
And pretends to laugh at things that
I
he
was
doesn't really think
I was
going to
invite...
You're stepping on my joke. Meah. For God's sakes.
You're stepping on my joke.
You're, no, I was in the middle
I was
of
in the... I had a joke, too.
Fuckface. I was in the middle
I had
of
a joke. Okay.
Shh. What did I smoke?
Do your joke.
I was
what
in the middle of a bit.
My mic's off.
No, it's too late now. I was in the middle of a bit, and you ran
a good joke always works. Keep going.
I gave him a chance.
No.
You were doing it. You got two fucking chocolate bars in your mouth. You weren't in the middle of a joke.
You pulled my bit.
This will all be on my sitcom, Fragamenti, which is debuting on IFC. It's a 30,
after Corey
it's
Hall.
It's a 30-minute. It's going to be after Tenney. And before Corey's but
is,
after
Corey's
Tenney.
Corey's is groundbreaking.
And it's Corey.
It's Corey Listen, Hall. It's two names.
Right,
it's two
right.
names.
Instead of just
That's the innovation.
Fragamenti, Corey, Louie, Seinfeld, Tenney.
All right, Corey, I'm sorry for stepping on your
This job. Week, Corey goes and fights with an open micer. And then later in the episode, he'll go and watch a comedy produced by Tyler Perry.
Can I pitch episode two?
Yeah.
A comedian wears shorts on stage.
Oh, God.
And Corey goes off on him. It's going to be great.
Let's get into that for one second.
Can I do episode three?
Yes. What is episode three?
Episode three is everybody's phones are ringing at the same time, and it's Harry Arton.
Oh, God. I'm surprised we haven't gotten a call from him.
Here's episode four. Black people are eating Twizzlers loudly at the movie theater in front of Corey, and he confronts them.
I haven't had a fight at the movie theater in a while.
No.
But...
Really?
But I used to do that a lot.
You were famous.
And then I gave into the inevitability of people sucking at the movies.
Have they changed those to where you no longer have to sit there with 300,000 crazy jungle people and watch a movie?
No, I still do.
But isn't it that they've changed where they screen the movies a little bit and that has changed? They no longer screen them in the
it's a little better,
janky
but
places.
I mean, Novi has a force field that keeps blacks out, apparently.
That does. That's
but,
true.
They
penetrate the Birmingham and Royal Oak force fields.
Yes.
They're not
certain
infallible.
Movies. There's certain movies you just know. You know, it's I mean
you
if
just
it's like
know it's gonna be full knuckle.
If it's like if it's starring
you haven't seen Fast
if it's
Six
starring
yet?
Martin Lawrence,
yeah.
you know you're in trouble.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, just any kind of those movies. Actually, oddly enough, when I started, we saw most of the stuff privately.
Yeah. The afternoon screening
because there was
yeah.
a screening room.
Yeah.
And this is the biggest bummer. There was a screening.
Oh, they closed
room.
That town?
They didn't upgrade to digital.
Oh.
And so that place has been gone for about 2 years because it was too expensive. Yeah. You guys are the fucking best.
That's episode five of Corey Hall. He tries to go to the screening room. He shows up. It's shuttered because they didn't go digital.
But we had a
first world fucking problems.
Yeah, really.
I'm
right?
saying we had a screen.
I can't see it in digital anymore.
You've been at the screening room, right?
I don't think I've ever went to the screening room.
Okay.
But when I worked at the movie theater, my managers would go to the screening room because they would get invited to screenings. And it was this magical
place.
Are
you talking about when you were in AV club in elementary school?
No, I used to work at the movie theater in high school and college.
Oh, which one?
I worked at the AMC Sterling Center 10, which is no longer there, which
right.
is on Shaner near Hall.
I remember that.
Across from Lakeside Mall.
Never worked at
and
the
then
Abbey.
I was. I would never worked at the Abbey. I knew the people from the Abbey because my manager moved over to the Abbey at a certain point. But then I was the assistant manager at the Cinemark Movie 16 at the Universal Mall.
Wow.
Which there's an Apocalypse Now
good
type film.
Good pickles at that place.
Right. That place, mm-hmm. if I ever wanted to write an amazing book.
By the way.
If I wrote a book about what happened at that place, it would blow your mind.
That's your sitcom.
That might be my
by
sitcom.
By the way,
Fragamenti, it's about you working at a movie theater.
It is.
We should go there now. It's a time capsule.
It is, yeah. It's,
they still have the X-Men video game cabinet from 1993.
Yeah. Do they still have the Godlin tea? It's the ripoff of Golden Tea that they have there.
Godlin tea.
It says on the side.
They have the Godly Network.
Godlin tea.
But that place, for anybody that doesn't know.
The Godly Network.
Theater 7 just shows the Godly Network.
This movie theater was, and I don't know what it is now. It was $1.50 during the week.
Movie 16?
Yeah.
I think it's $1.50.
$2 on the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's the same.
And I think Tuesdays might have been $1.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
how
you could save 50 cents if you were
right now
around.
They're showing Free Willy.
No. They show stuff that's about six. They pretty much show stuff maybe
anything that's been released
right
on video.
Before DVD. No, they get stuff before DVD.
I don't know about that.
Generally speaking. Generally speaking, they get stuff just before DVD.
Talk about getting in fights. I got in so many fights at that place.
What's funny, though, they get stuff before DVD, but the people who go
Talking
there
chest.
Usually get HPV. When they
That place was – that's where I had the most problems with people.
Oh, that place was awful.
Just a fucking
But it's
design.
It's like anything else where –
it's an open sewer of human –
When people pay $9 to see something, they behave differently than people that pay $1 to see something. That's just – the same thing in comedy. If you go to a comedy show that's free,
right.
The people will talk through the whole thing. It'll be awful. You charge $20, you're going to get a nice audience.
Right.
Because they're invested in the 20. It's not that there's a barrier of $20 keeping people away. It just makes it better. So, Corey, are you pulling up what's that movie 16
got naked
right
pictures
now?
Of girls. I was just looking at
I had Tom Dreesen up, and so I decided to put some titties up sure. there to distract myself.
I have the Blu-ray review of A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III.
Oh.
Was that a terrible movie?
Horrible.
What
okay.
is that?
It was a Charlie Sheen vanity project that didn't come out. It was directed by Roman Coppola.
Right. Because this
starring Charlie Sheen, Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah.
Patricia Arquette. Do you see a theme here yet?
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray blows the curve.
Well, he's on the cover. So.
Oh, is this the like why the picture I always saw? And it was him in a cowboy outfit.
Straight
or
to DVD.
Like that?
Yeah, that's what this is.
It went straight to DVD.
I'm just bringing this up because that's what's on my screen.
Was that terrible, Corey?
It's really just lame. Yeah.
Right, so what?
It was made by all people who grew up in show business.
Yeah,
oh, that's great.
Who just have no idea what real problems are.
This particular reviewer that gave it 1 out of 5 stars says. If you ever wanted to know what happened to the guy who helped write Moonrise Kingdom and what it would be like for him to direct a feature, this is it. Which I think is sort of a baseless review because I think Roman Coppola has made other features, right?
Yeah, he has.
So it's a little baseless, but it doesn't make the movie any good. And
I did note that it was all people who grew up in Hollywood making a story about how hard it is to grow up in Hollywood.
Well,
so anyway.
The HD video quality gets 4 out of 5 stars.
Oh, good work on that.
That was
good
a movie that looked, on that. Boy, nothing happened in that movie.
Yeah,
anyway.
I will not watch this, but I brought up the review. You want to move on to Inside Amy Schumer?
Yeah, I want to move on to comics wearing shorts, but anyway.
when do I get to smoke a cigarette?
You can smoke one right now.
All right.
No, but does that mean I have to stop the show while
you
smoke?
You guys can talk. I'll go smoke.
Okay. Would you want to continue?
What were
you
intending to
do? Just pop me down. Pop me down. And I'll go and smoke.
Would you, Corey, I'm leaving it up to you. Would you like, because I'm not going to continue if you're not going to be here.
Let's take a break.
Okay, we'll come back in 1 minute. John's going to smoke and then Inside Amy. But you guys at home, you don't have to take a break. We're just going to come right back.
Yeah, they won't even know that
they won't know that the break is happening.
And then all of a sudden, we'll be, hey!
John's full of nicotine. Yay! All right, we'll be back after this break.
No break.
Oh, we
but it's not really a break.
It's not a break.
We'll take breaks. We haven't taken a break in a long time.
Can they still hear this? Leave this in, too.
You want me to leave this in?
People love listening
to
this.
Yeah, I know, but it's not. But people, there's guys that'll fast forward. You can go out this door.
I'll tell you this. I fast forward to Marin's first 5 minutes now.
Yeah, I do sometimes.
If I'm just there for the guest, I'll just fast forward.
I don't listen to it at all. Fuck that guy. I'll keep saying this on the show as many times as I can. Leave it in, Joel. Fuck Mark Maron.
Well, you know, that could happen. German and Irish, but yes. Yeah.
Close that other door so I don't have to see you or hear you. Oh, I just sat down.
Go this way.
Leave all this in.
Leave this in?
Yeah.
Like Corey peeing on him?
No, you can take out the big dead silence.
But us getting up and sitting
up, leaving, and then us coming back in, me yelling at Corey to close the door.
I guess I could leave it in. I mean, it's all been recorded. We were out there for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, just clip out the 10 minutes of silence,
and then all of a sudden people will start to hear us talking again. And they'll go, oh, that's what happens.
These are delicious, by the way.
What are those?
Peanut butter caramel.
I can't eat those.
Why?
Those will pull my teeth out.
I went to the dentist today.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was not good.
I cannot go.
Yeah?
No. There's a lot going on in there.
But I thought you were going to the dentist when you were on the TV show.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
I got all these teeth fixed, TV teeth.
Okay. But you don't go in for a cleaning?
The last time I was a while ago.
And how was that for you?
It was fine, but now things have gone wrong.
So the cleaning is going to be as painful as...
Listening to the dentist tell me what's wrong.
Yeah, they'll do that too.
Because there's a lot that's wrong.
Right. Because I go in and they clean the teeth.
Every 6 months I go in, they clean my teeth, and then the dentist comes in and looks for disease and that kind of shit.
And yeah, I need.
Don't find
I need eight, at least eight crowns, and at least six root canals.
So for you, it's like a. It's just bad news.
Oh yeah, all the way around.
So we didn't get into room 237, which you were.
God damn it! That was supposed to be the number one fucking show. Well,
here we come. We'll talk about Amy Schumer.
What the fuck can we talk about for 90 fucking goddamn
We could split this into another show and talk about 237.
We talk about Amy Schumer and then 237.
What is that?
It's delicious. Heaven. That's what that is.
Those are Brock's peanut cluster caramel chocolate disasters.
They're like a turtle, but they're not pecans. They're peanuts.
On February 15th, it's just a turtle.
How is that?
It's, you know, I remember these. I remember the Brock chocolate covered peanuts.
Right, but these have the caramel. It's different. It's like a whole other element to it.
The magic of candy. Try and get some in your mouth, Joel.
Enough gets in my mouth that it's fine.
Try just the
rubbing
candy.
Just rubbing it on your chest and your face.
Getting the essence of it on my body.
All right. How much more of John's time can we waste?
We'll talk about Amy Schumer.
We're not
you guys
just
can
wasting
talk about
John's
that.
Time. We're wasting my time, your time, and everyone that's listening.
That's
time.
Right.
I will not
so
have
we're
you
all
dessert.
On the same ground. Except Corey's the only one, aside from the listeners, who will be looking at boobs during this podcast.
Well, I just like to see what new.
Where are you going now?
Just to clean my hands on the chocolate.
It's what your mouth is for.
That sounded
more drunk than anything I've ever said drunk.
I don't want to go on the show with a mouthful of candy. Professional broadcaster, motherfucker.
Yeah. This proves it, for sure.
This is it. Soon I will be on the...
Amy Schumer show?
Drive Time Radio.
Or are you taking over?
Eating chocolate-covered clusters. Of-
what happened to my drink?
Oh, did you leave it out on the table?
That's fine.
You had enough of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Malt beverage.
Well, the idea. We got two things, and they're back to back on my list.
All right.
Next is Inside Amy Schumer. It's Amy Schumer's.
Oh, he's gone already.
Now Corey's gone.
You're the one who didn't you watch it?
Well, Inside Amy Schumer is Amy Schumer's. It's a sketch show. It's on Comedy Central.
Now, who is she?
It's on Tosh.0. She's a comic. She basically got famous doing those roasts.
Okay.
The Comedy Central Presents Roast. And I forget who she did, but she had, maybe Corey will remember, exactly who it was that she roasted that made her famous. Do you remember who it was?
She did a couple roasts.
But there was one where it, like, her segment
one
was like...
One specifically?
There was one specifically, I don't know if it was Joan Rivers, I forget who it was. But there was one that made her a star, sort of. And sort of made everybody recognize her name. But she's been around for a while, Amy Schumer, and they gave her this sketch show, which, you know, isn't a whole lot different than most other sketch shows.
Right.
It's sketches with her. I'm not sure how many of the people that are in the sketches with her are going to be regulars.
Is it funny?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Some of the people are I'm guessing some of those people are going to be regulars or semi-regulars. There's also segments where she's doing stand-up, and there's segments where she's doing sort of man-on-the-street interviews with people in New York.
Okay.
And on balance, I've watched two episodes. Not unlike Maron, I thought the second episode was much better than the first.
Right.
And so my thumb is I'm giving a recommendation Inside Amy Schumer, although it is sketches, and I'm not a big guy on sketches.
30-minute show?
30-minute show. I think if you like sketches, I think you'll enjoy this. To me, sketches, I've never really been a big fan of sketches in
never
general.
A Monty Python guy?
Not a Monty Python guy,
Kids
not an
Hall?
SNL guy, not a Kids in the Hall guy,
no.
Not any of those things.
The
I just, I don't.
The best sketch shows to me are Mr. Show and Kids in the Hall.
Okay. But even like Reno 911, those guys, I'm not.
I enjoy those guys a little bit, but yeah.
I've seen Workaholics and thought that was okay, but
actually,
I
do like sketch because I like The State.
See, you like all that stuff.
And I liked SCTV.
And you like SNL.
SCTV, I don't like SNL.
I just think it's, you know, I mean...
Like Kids in the Hall a lot.
Yeah. I like the Ben Stiller show. Mr. The one that was
Mr.
on
Show?
Fox.
Did you enjoy that?
I enjoyed it.
Hit and miss with me.
It is pretty hit and miss, but the hits were really big.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, my feeling is Amy Schumer is better than some. I mean, my feeling is SNL is never as good as it could be because they're doing all this stuff in a week's time. It's a 90-minute show. The sketches get stretched out. I like when people do sketches that are pre-taped because they can really do them well. They can do them right.
This week was the laziest SNL of all time because Kristen Wiig came back and they went, let's do all your signature bits. Let's do the Target lady. Let's do the...
Is it strange? I mean, when I know that it probably happened back in the 70s and 80s, yeah. But it seems like of late, more recently, the guests on SNL are old SNL people.
Yeah. They did that a lot, though. Chevy came back a lot when he was gone. I think Aykroyd came back.
It just seems
Billy
like
Crystal came back. Some of those
recent.
Guys, yeah.
It just seems of recent, like, and now here's another former cast member of SNL coming back.
I think they realize that those shows, when they come back, are generally the better shows.
Right.
Don't you find that?
Not this time.
Maya Rudolph came back fairly recently. That was a good show. Well, I remember that being a
good show. What's
good
about that is that you don't have to, like, try and make, a football player funny. You know what I mean? You're not making Eli Manning hilarious, which he's not. So at least you have somebody who knows sketch comedy.
But Inside Amy Schumer, you liked it or not? You only saw one of the
I saw the first
two,
one. Yeah. I would get rid of the stand-up.
Have they ever done
it? Yeah, I agree. The stand-up could...
She's going to run out of material.
Yeah, I'm not sure what point of her stand-up is.
I saw the stuff that she was doing on that first episode was stuff I had seen her do.
Yeah.
When I worked
And
with
I
her.
Think she did some of the bits on her Comedy Central special as well. We talked about Amy Schumer a little bit when Rob was in here last, and I still contend she does...
Rob
while
Rose.
While she's attractive, she does appear to... I said that she appears to be made of the parts of other women. That she sort of looks like she has sort of weird mismatched.
And she's
body
just
parts.
Famous from the roasts?
Kind of, and stand up. Yeah,
could you show me a picture
of
her?
Stuff.
Let me see a picture of that. Check.
So I don't know. It's okay. I mean, you know.
Has SNL ever done an entire because you just said, like, Eli Manning's not funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Have they ever done, like, a whole episode where, like, the host is always just themselves when they come into the skit? That might be funny for the entire show. Where they come in and they're not funny in every
right,
single episode.
Where they're like, it's Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Look, again, it's Eli Manning. And he comes in and just murders the whole skit.
Yeah, I don't think they've gone that meta. I think they still try to make these people work.
I got no idea.
You got no
is.
Idea Amy Schumer is? No. You don't have cable and she's a cable star. My friend.
I got no idea. Who does she look like to me? She looks like...
See? You're starting to get that thing.
Yeah.
She's attractive,
looks like,
but
she looks like
when you break it down, it starts
she looks
to
like
fall apart.
Parts of the chick from... parts of the chick from Biggest Loser. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, the woman that hosts that, whatever her name is, the soap opera lady.
Yeah.
Who's attractive. Amy Schumer's attractive, don't get me wrong.
My dad got gastric bypass.
Yeah, how's your dad?
He's all right.
Good for him.
Last time I talked to him, he was down 30 pounds.
Good.
What do you think of that?
Wow.
How does he feel? That's more important.
He says he feels fine.
Good.
Says he feels good.
Yeah. He isn't going to go eat a bunch of cheeseburgers and rip through
I caught
band.
Him eating cheese, what do you call it? Cheez-Its. He's not supposed to have solid food, and I caught him putting Cheez-Its in his chicken broth.
Oh.
And he said that as long as they get mushy, they're okay.
So I think Amy Schumer's okay. I think that show's fine.
It'll be off the air next
It's
year.
Not really my thing. I'm not really into sketches.
She did one sketch.
Sometimes those sketch shows burn out quick anyway.
She did one. Yeah. Chappelle's show was only two.
She's got a weird face.
She does. Yeah. You know what I mean?
She's cute, but like there's extra padding in the cheeks.
Yeah. too much forehead, too.
God, why didn't we lead with this? We should have.
Oh, no.
Why do we got to do this?
Because you dogged on Amy Schumer's
Why do
work
I do this an hour and 20 minutes into the... Okay, I know.
Look, I worked with Amy. She was cool to me. I liked her. Yeah. She was funny.
Okay.
So I'll give her show another shot. What was weird, though, about it, not to be all... Here, somebody get a shovel, because I'm going to drop some names.
Can't wait.
She did a sketch that was... My favorite sketch that she did was, like, she hooked up with a guy, and she was deciding when to call him back.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there in his underwear playing Xbox and
she
farting.
Was doing nothing but thinking of him.
She was obsessed with him.
Right. And he was...
He forgot who she was.
He could have gave a shit, yeah.
And it ended up with her, like, going to the cemetery and buying plots.
They could be buried together.
They're going to get married
She's that in love.
Be buried together.
Right.
And the guy digging the grave was Ted Alexandro.
Right.
Who's a comic.
I know Ted, too, yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, and I worked with Ted, and I'm sitting there going, wow, I had cheeseburgers with this guy who's digging the grave.
Well, then she's giving jobs to...
yeah, which is cool.
Marginally famous New York comics. So
right, right. Good. But it was just funny to, it could be to us. See that happen. So
anyway, yeah, it was okay. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Eh,
move on.
Maybe I'll watch some.
All right, do you want to talk about...
I'll steal it.
I got three things next.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
When you guys pick the topic...
All right.
Room 237, I saw as a documentary trying to reveal the secrets in Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. That's topic one.
Yeah.
Topic two is another documentary called Beware of Mr. Baker,
right,
which is about Ginger Baker, who was the drummer for Cream and is a crazy man.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have what I would prefer to talk about is Fred Stoller's book, We Might Have You Back next week.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The Confessions,
you know,
of a perennial sitcom guest star.
If this podcast didn't have a narrow enough appeal,
right.
Your two topics are, let me see if I get this right.
Yeah.
A documentary that's not really been released.
Yes, it's on the film. No, Room 237 is on demand cable, and it's on iTunes, and it's on Amazon Instant Video.
It shouldn't be available on YouTube.
A documentary.
Well, you can see similar things on YouTube.
A documentary that's been spottily released.
Yeah, it's been basically, well, that's the way a lot of stuff is released now. It's on.
They showed. Mr. Baker, they showed that at the Detroit Film Theater.
Yeah, DFT showed the Baker, the Ginger Baker.
And a book about a comedian.
That no one knows about.
Fred Stoller's book, yeah, I don't know where you get that thing.
Not one in 100
people. You get it from Fred Stoller.
That thing escaped.
You get it from Fred Stoller.
I sat next to Fred and he read it to me. Yeah. No,
that's the audio version.
It wasn't released, it was
it escaped, yeah. No, Fred, I got it on the Kindle, Fred Stoller's books.
Yeah.
I bought it because I like Fred.
How much was it
Fred
on the
Stoller,
Kindle?
Fred Stoller, it was probably $9. Let me see how
is
much
it worth $9.99?
I'm going to give the full review. Fred Stoller's a comedian that used to go on every evening at the Improv and Young Comedian Special. They had Fred on, and he was this giant, tall, skinny, gorky guy.
I found a better picture of Amy Schumer. You can really evaluate what's going on there.
You know, no one can see these pictures, not even me.
Not a fan of looking at this picture of Amy Schumer.
What picture do you find? Describe it for
the
audience.
She's topless, but she has a couple G.I. Joe dolls
taped over her
tits. Taped over her boobs.
Well, the book in Kindle edition now is $6.59. I can't remember if that's what I paid for it. The hardcover is, for some reason, going for $20.49, which is weird. But that's the cover right there. There it is. Fred Stoller, Maybe We'll Have You Back, The Life of a Perennial TV Guest Star by Fred Stoller.
Been on a lot of podcasts Fred Stoller.
But Fred was this loser who did this sort of, I can never meet a girl, was his shtick.
Yeah.
His whole thing was about, I can't meet women, and that was his shtick. And then he later sort of had this thing where he was like, he was the thrill seeker. Where he would, you know, I forget what he would do all these wacky things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I had a sandwich, and then I went swimming just 20 minutes later. I'm a thrill seeker.
Right.
I'm a risk taker.
Yeah.
And he would do sort of these
jokes. I remember
jokes.
One of his jokes was, I bought 80 cents worth of licorice.
Yeah.
I gave the lady a dollar. I walked the hell away. That was one of
it's
his
sort of
big
like,
things.
You know, how Harry does the... Harry does the bat out of hell. It's kind of the same thing as Fred Stoller does. But Fred was always funny, and he's seen, if you look at his IMDb, he's played the delivery guy in like all these shows. And he had sort of a second career where he was doing voices. He's in Handy Manny.
What is that?
It's a child's cartoon about a wrench. He plays Monkey Wrench on Handy Manny.
Did you know?
Is your description of Fred's career as exhilarating? As reading it in
the
book.
Well, here's the great thing about Fred. I guess we're talking about Fred's book.
I
think
I guess
we decided about that. The thing about Fred's book that's so funny is that it's all about, he is, you know, talk about the audition to be the delivery guy on Murphy Brown.
Right.
Or the wacky bellhop on Wings. Or what?
Which was a great show.
Right.
You know me, I'm a big Shalhoub fan.
He was on My Name Is
Are
Earl.
Are you a big Shalhoub
fan? I'm a big,
Scrub.
Not enough Tony Shalhoub fan.
The Nanny.
Songs.
He was on Monk. He was on all these shows.
Shalhoub.
So he talks about the audition.
Key to fame.
He talks about the times he got rejected, the times he did well. He'll tell you what his dressing room was like. Friends had the best dressing room, according to him. He'll tell you what the craft services were like on the various sitcoms. He'll tell you who had the best. On some shows, if you're a guest star, you get to eat with the cast and get the catered meal. Other times, you have to go to the commissary on the lot and eat. Depends on the show. And he would eat with these stars of... the extras from Star Trek The Next Generation. So the guest stars from all the shows would have to eat together at the commissary. And he said he tried to hit on a girl that was dressed as a Klingon. And he said something like, "It must be really fun to be a Klingon on that show and wear all these wacky outfits." And the girl blew him off. So it's a lot of stories
so
like
there you
that.
Go.
Blew him off. A Klingon pulled his pants off and sucked his dick.
No, it's not that good.
It's not that.
I think it's a funny book. I mean, I think Fred is funnier as a stand-up than the book is.
This is the memoir.
It's
a memoir of a guy with a failed comedy career.
Well, he makes.
But it's interesting. I mean,
think he said you made. God, I want to get the number right. $6,800 a week.
Right.
As a guest star on a sitcom.
Right.
That's good change.
That's good if you get, you know, a few of those a year.
I've heard him because he's doing the Round on podcast.
Yeah, he did Mark Maron. Yeah. I've heard him on there.
He's funny.
Yeah, he's funny. He's like a guy that he's really the character. That's the thing about it. He has the character, but he really is the schmuck. There is a story about how he had sex with Kathy Griffin.
Right.
He was working on Suddenly Susan, and Kathy Griffin and him went out on a couple dates, and he banged Kathy Griffin, and you'll hear all about that in the book.
Just thinking about that.
I'd bang Kathy Griffin.
Would you really?
I certainly would have banged her when he banged her.
Oh, that's a different story.
Like 96 or something.
That's a different story.
But yeah, but you know, look at Fred. Fred should be happy to get anything.
John,
would you hit that?
No.
Okay. Fred has, by the way, it has 16 five-star, the average is 5 stars of 16 reviews on Amazon.
Well, there you go.
And I'm not one of them, but I'm recommending.
16 people have reviewed that?
So there's 16 reviews on Amazon.com.
8 people have reviewed Come At Me Ghost by Joey Ghost Killer Hellion.
Although there is a 3-star review that says, this is definitely a memoir, not a, quote, funny book, which is fine. But anyway, it's good. And then there's also a Fred Stoller movie that he wrote on Netflix.
Is it called Fred Stoller or is it just called Stoller?
It's called Fred and Vinny.
Oh, there you go.
And it's the story of him and his buddy Vinny. Vinny was a comic from Philly.
Loosely based on the life of comedians?
It's loosely based on the life of Fred. And it's actually not loosely based.
Christ.
It's strictly based on the life of Fred and Vinny. Vinny is a guy from Philly who moves out to L.A. to hang out with Fred.
I guess we figured out what's taking over for the fucking cheap-ass paranormal shows that are coming out, right?
But the movie was pretty good, too. It wasn't great, but it's kind of emotional at the
Should
end.
Should we
it was
not
nice.
Recommend Sleepwalk with Me to Joel to John, then?
I'm not watching Sleepwalk with Me. I'm not watching that.
Sleepwalk with Me is probably a notch above Fred and Vinny.
Yeah.
But I recommend Fred and Vinny. I don't know.
I'm not watching the HBO series about what's his name, Brody. Brody Stevens.
Oh, Brody Stevens. You have identified a dangerous trend, John, because comedians are terminally self-absorbed, and they are most comedians. In fact, I would say.
Who are you talking about?
Talking over my bits. I would say 10 out of 10 comedians are self-absorbed as a rough estimate. And now they're going to do shows about themselves.
Right.
Their acts are about themselves. And then they're like, what if we made a TV series?
Let's do a documentary about me, too, because I'm interesting.
Yeah.
The whole thing with sitcoms, though, over the years. I know I'm off mic, but.
No, there used to be writing involved.
But Tim Allen did the show.
There used to be writing involved.
Seinfeld's show was based on him.
Dangerous fucking trend, too, Corey and Joel, both of you?
Yes.
Podcasts where two fat guys
no.
sit in a room.
You're close.
And talk to
you're close.
An aging paranormal investigator.
You're close. The other dangerous fucking trend is that now, because of comedy podcasts, people aren't doing fucking comedy more. They're just doing podcasts at the fucking clubs.
Yeah.
Oh, look, we showed up and we're, instead of me having to write a bit, I'm just going to sit around with three guys and riff, and that's our fucking that's my comedy.
Doug loves movies at Largo.
That's my comedy stand-up and my podcast. Isn't
Corey
that brilliant and amazing?
Corey and I know we were the first people ever to go to a live club and bomb with a podcast.
We broke
the fucking rule.
Absolutely.
We wrote the book on going places and not having people give a shit about our podcast.
I noticed on those live podcasts, and I like Doug Loves Movies. I listen to that quite frequently. Take your turtles back. No, I'm good. I'm good with the two I had. I'm good.
These are good, though. They're hard to...
Go ahead, Corey.
What annoys me on all those is I'm always thinking, why don't you put a mic on the audience?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when people do laugh, you don't hear it.
Yeah. The only reason I listen to Doug Loves Movies is for Paul F. Tompkins' Werner Herzog.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's the only thing I listen to. That's the only reason I listen to that show.
It's a tremendous Werner Herzog impression.
Because I'm a huge Herzog fan. So to hear someone doing... a riff on Herzog.
He's great on it. He's like, yeah. He talks as
bizarrely as Werner Herzog.
It's not as big a jump from what the real Werner Herzog would say.
Right.
Then it's really.
But I mean, it really is crazy that now people, it seems like stand-ups aren't writing or performing material anymore. They're like, I'm just going to do my podcast and that's enough.
Are Lucky Charms actually appropriate for humans?
Should Fred Stoller do a podcast and will you listen if he does?
No. I would not listen if he did.
I don't know. Is he going to interview Mark Maron?
No. I don't share your fascination with Fred Stoller. I think he's fine.
I love him.
But I don't get it.
I'm going to say it right now in a public forum.
You like him more than Jonathan Winters.
If I ever make a movie.
You're putting Fred Stoller
Fred
as a delivery guy.
Fred Stoller's in everything I ever do. Professionally. If I create a movie or something, I mean, obviously he could be on this podcast whenever he wants.
Right.
He's an open invitation
for Fred,
that.
Come on.
But if I'm ever making a film in Hollywood, I ever have any sway in anything, a creative project, Fred is always going to be on it.
What if Fred's an asshole? If you're gonna...
Doesn't matter. I respect Fred.
No matter
He's
what he
made
does.
Me laugh.
Fred Stoller will be your Rob Schneider. You become famous.
Is he still alive?
Rob Schneider?
Yeah.
I think so.
He was on Marin not long ago.
Well, look at that. Well,
great.
And you know what? Actually, great. Rob Schneider was actually kind of funny because he was doing comedy. He was doing like, that's what annoys me is that you're talking about guys just going on a podcast and doing shtick.
Right.
I like that, though. I like if guys are going to go on and riff and be funny.
Yeah.
Guys go on Marin and get all serious.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, man, you know, the crack pipe is, it's hard to deal with. It talks to you, you know?
Yeah.
And I had some times, I had some dark times when I was looking all inside. Right. And I'm like, who wants to hear comics talking about how their shit, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, we never get serious.
Their emotional issues.
And plus, you know, Joey Ghost Killer Hellman.
Yeah.
He's going to be wiped out anyway because they gave Joe Rogan a paranormal show.
Oh, really? That's kind of ripping off Joey.
Yeah.
Is Joe Rogan going to put a plancha?
He's the next Jesse Ventura. He's going around the country investigating conspiracy theories.
Did you see? Have you seen this book? Now, I just saw this on. This just came up on Fred Stoller.
Jesus Christ.
It's called, maybe Joey's heard about this, Punching Tom Hanks, Dropkicking Gorillas and Pummeling Zombified Ex-Presidents, A Guide to Beating Up Anything.
Nope.
Sounds like a funny book.
I would read that book, probably.
Well, I don't
By
think,
Kevin Sessia.
I got a feeling Tom Hanks is not that... You can punch him, he'll crumple.
watch it. I forget that he was in Bosom Buddies.
I know.
I forget that that's the same guy.
Yeah,
because I see him with the mustache now.
Well, I was trying to explain how D&D... Amy was talking about
Mazes
how,
and Monsters?
Yeah, how Amy said that, you know, D&D was once considered this scary, terrifying thing. And church groups were like out to get it, and it was demonic and
thanks, Tom Hanks.
And satanic. And he did a movie, a TV movie called Mazes and Monsters, where Tom Hanks got whacked out on cough syrup or something and believed he was in a D&D game and wandered around.
Never saw that.
No, oh, you it's never great. Saw it. It's great.
Wow.
He tripped out. I can't remember if it was the power of the game or he was tripped out on pills.
No, he was on drugs.
Okay.
So there was a supernatural element or no?
No. When, like not, they would show like he would
hallucinate.
He's, yeah, he's like
he
standing in the middle of the highway in a robe holding a 2x4 and there's like a semi truck coming in, but in his brain you see that like it's a dragon coming toward him. He's got a sword.
And he starts wandering around with a dagger in the subway.
And wants to kill people. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
This is before he was famous, I take it.
Yeah, this is about
young.
1981.
Wow.
Yeah, he's young. He's early 20s or a teenager.
Yeah. Wow.
Was that movie called Mazes and Monsters?
Mazes and Monsters.
Yeah.
All right.
Coming out about the same time as Max and Me, if you remember that.
Or do you want to review Beware of Mr. Baker?
I liked it a lot. I think it's a documentary about Ginger Baker, who was most famous for being the drummer in Cream.
And Crazy.
But he was in other various other super groups and over the years. And just a real cantankerous, grumpy old bad. Those are great, John.
We'll see. They pull my teeth out.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be great on the radio if you do it.
The great thing about the Ginger Baker documentary, the first shot, the opening shot, is the filmmaker is trying to get his car to leave after interviewing Ginger Baker. And he says, like, well, you know, I got to go off and do these other interviews. I got to talk to Clapton.
Yeah.
And Ginger Baker's like, the fuck you, Will! Oh, you son of a bitch! And he hits him across the face with a cane.
Oh, wow.
And drawing blood, yeah.
Wow.
Just has an iron...
So I'm going to send you to hospital.
Right. And he's got like an iron, you know, an iron handle on his cane. It just cracks the kid across the nose. You know, the young, it's a young guy.
Right, yeah.
Who was the director. I thought it was a pretty, as rock docs go, pretty compelling.
Yeah, it was pretty compelling. I like I said, I like every rock and roll documentary. And certainly Ginger Baker falls into the drug trap and the, you know, the groupie trap of all these
guys.
And
was a hell of a drummer.
Lost all of his money, all the fucking stories you hear about every rock and roller.
And was a hell of a drummer.
Great drummer. Well, that is the movie.
There's Tom Hanks.
As much as they make Ginger Baker out to be completely insane, it also completely kisses his ass about his drumming. Not mm-hmm. that it's undeserved.
That,
but
to me, was the weak spot of the film.
In the sense that
everybody goes on and on about
how great his drumming was, yeah.
And sometimes that's a little too technical.
Yeah, because there's a point when the guy's interviewing Eric Clapton, and he says to Clapton, he says, well, but people talk about John Bonham and Keith Moon as being these great rock drummers, and Clapton goes, no, they're not in the same league. Ginger Baker was a musician. He was not merely a drummer. He could write and read music.
If
and
I gotta
symphonic.
Hear, I gotta hear about his jazz artistry.
Yeah, his jazz artistry. Yeah,
anymore that gets old. Right. But I do like that the other people in the movie, like Jack Bruce,
yeah,
and Clapton, are still sort of a little scared of Ginger
Baker.
Oh, I think
so. Yeah,
and they're a little hesitant to talk about him.
You know, it's funny when you told
like,
me to, you
like
told
they're
me,
gonna summon the ghost.
Like you told me to watch this, and I said, well, you know, I just saw this Cream documentary. They did a documentary about the Cream reunion. It was on Netflix. It may or may not still be up there. Beware Mr. Baker isn't out yet officially, or it's sort of in whatever, limited release. But this Cream reunion documentary is all about why, because they didn't cover in that, but that he was bitching that Jack Bruce played too loud.
Yeah.
And that's why he wouldn't do Cream anymore.
Mm.
Ginger Baker said Jack was just too loud and he wouldn't turn down.
Oh, wow.
And then, I couldn't hear anything.
After Cream, he was in what, Blind Faith?
He was in Blind Faith, and then he had
another super group.
Ginger Baker's Air Force or whatever that was.
And then he went to South Africa. He went to
Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Yeah, Lagos.
In the early 70s.
Yeah.
And started jamming, like, long before anybody else was doing
that. Yeah, but then McCartney went there to do Band on the Run, was done in Africa as well. So there was a movement of that. English rock stars going to Africa to record, which is a weird thing.
And then Paul Simon made that a whole thing.
Well, remember, you know the story of Band on the Run was Paul had a notebook. Mm-hmm. With all the lyrics and the chords for the Band on the Run album.
Right.
And he went out and a guy stuck a gun in his back and said, give me all your shit. They didn't even know he was Paul McCartney. And the guy stole his notebook and all his money and all that shit. And all of Band on the Run was lost.
I did not know that.
And so he had to re-figure out how to do all the songs.
Man, look how that turned out.
But well, that's considered Wing's greatest album.
Yeah.
That's like the Jimi Hendrix leaving the tapes in the taxi.
Did he do that? He left them in a taxi cab?
There's a documentary about Wings, by the way, that's coming out. That they just, I got to solicit for.
But it's like it's the other guys in Wings, right?
No, I think it's like a concert movie.
Oh, no. They're reissuing Rock Show.
Okay.
Which is a documentary about the Wings Over America
now,
tour.
Now, do you read?
Which is from the 70s.
Do you read
But they're showing it at theaters again. It's going to be out on home video.
I know you watch all rock docs, Joel.
I do.
Do you read all the books?
Some of them. I don't read all of them, but
did
I read.
Do you look at the bookshelf full of Beatles books?
I know.
Yeah, there's
but
that.
But did you read, like, the John Densmore book about the Doors?
I have not. No.
That seems interesting to me.
I just finished a Nirvana book.
The Densmore book seems interesting to me.
Yeah,
because it's about, like.
Is that what Oliver Stone based his movie on? No, that was based on No One Here Gets Out Alive.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, which is another.
No, Densmore just wrote a book. And
did
it's
he?
Called like The Doors Unhinged.
Here's my problem.
And it's all about, you know, Morrison said on the albums it's going to say written produced by The Doors.
Yeah.
So they all had equal stock.
Yeah.
So then when he died.
Yeah.
And Manzarek and Robbie Krieger are out as The Doors.
Yeah.
Densmore's like no.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do this.
Right, yeah.
And then there's an ensuing lawsuit that goes on for 20 years.
My problem with the books is that they take so long to read.
Right.
That you can watch a documentary and pretty much get the whole story in 2 hours or 90 minutes or whatever.
Right.
And that's great. But when you have to read the book, even that Nirvana book I read, which was Everett True's Nirvana book. There's
right.
a few Nirvana books. But Everett True was a melody maker journalist who was there.
Right.
He introduced Kirk to Courtney.
Uh-huh.
And very, you know, so his book was great, by the way. But it was 600... I read it on the Kindle, but 600 real pages. That's
right.
A fucking giant
book. Yeah, that's a big
one. And it took me like a month to read, basically, because it was pretty dense in the beginning. And then it got easier to read as Nirvana got more famous and I was more familiar with this stuff. But it's like, you know, I can't give that much time to The Doors or something.
I read a Beach Boys book.
Yeah.
It's called The Nearest Faraway Place.
Yeah.
Talking about too much stuff about you don't care about.
Yeah.
The first, I want to say the first 120 pages of that book was about the Wilson family in Kansas.
I agree. That's the worst part of rock books.
And I just sat there and I went, it was about like what Brian Wilson's grandpa did at the feed store.
It is. Yeah.
And I just sent, who the fuck cares? I just, give me the part where they're, even the,
look, I'm interested,
I want to hear
this,
how they
I'm interested in this Thurston book.
Yeah. Yeah. The Last Greatest Magician,
the last greatest magician
in the World
by Steinmeier.
Jim Steinmeier.
Let me hear how they recorded California Girls. That's what I want to,
well,
I'm reading this
the
for.
Thing, the thing in, you know? In the Nirvana book is there's all this stuff about Kurt Cobain and Aberdeen and his mom,
right.
And she got divorced and remarried, and it's just like, this has nothing to do with Nirvana.
Exactly.
I don't care. And all, most of those books, even Beatles stuff,
yeah.
There's a book coming out. I got to look this up because I want to get the exact page count on
the
this.
Beatles stuff is all about Liverpool and... and how they grew up, and
I just,
you know,
wish people would get over the fucking Beatles.
Okay, this book is coming out October 2013. Mark Lewison's called All These Years, Volume One. Tune in. He's writing a 3-part Beatles, the definitive documentary of the Beatles. It's 3 parts. Now this one,
and he's writing this for you alone.
He's this one goes up to this one ends.
No one even knows who the Beatles are.
Anymore. This book ends in 1962. It ends in 62.
Right.
So this ends like while the Beatles were still in Hamburg, basically.
Jesus,
okay.
Christ.
This book is 1,248 pages,
uh-huh.
And
who's
it ends,
read that?
And I'm going to fucking read it.
Oh my God!
But it ends, and so I know this is all going to be about the Beatles and their families,
right?
And going back generations, and it probably won't even be that good. Pete Townsend's book I didn't finish.
Are we going
to
learn about Freddie Lennon's time as a merchant marine?
We will. You're learning.
Is he
going
to talk about Billy Preston?
Billy Preston came into 69. Well, Billy Preston was in Hamburg, so maybe there's a...
Speaking of that kind of
1,200 pages before they get signed to EMI.
This shit drives me crazy.
1,200 pages?
There's a book called Nixonland,
yeah,
about Richard Nixon,
yeah,
that goes up to the 68 election. And that's where it stops. Like,
and
right,
it stops,
right.
Yeah.
And Billy Preston's in that one.
Like, not... Not,
can I hit John Wick?
Not
there?
Like, what? No, it's just like none of his Nixon's presidents.
Yeah, right, right.
Like, you're right. They front load these, but they go,
yeah,
I'm going to do a magnum opus. There's
right.
A guy who's been writing books about Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of him, but he's done like 5 books on Lyndon Johnson.
In all different eras
and
of
I
his
think
life
he
and...
just got up to the presidency.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
some
and then he's got another, it. He's got another volume
well,
for the second half of his
this
presidency.
Mark Lewison is the guy who wrote the guide to the Beatles recording sessions, where he listened to all
right,
the session
right.
tapes, and he wrote the complete Beatles Chronicle, and he wrote the Beatles London.
John, have you
so he is the definitive
oh, yeah,
Beatles author.
Have you seen the book about the EMI recording?
Yeah.
Have I shown you recording
yeah.
the Beatles? Oh,
yeah.
That's an amazing book. Talk about minutia. Pages and pages on the Fairchild limiter.
I'm not into the minutia.
But you're into recording and...
Yeah, I mean, I was in
stuff.
Bands for a long time, and I like
but
recording.
But you don't
want to
find out about the echo chamber.
No.
But it's all on. It's all
John,
in there.
John, what have you been reading? I've been on a World War II jag lately.
Yeah,
I've read a bunch. I read a book called Winston's War, which
okay.
was all about. It just followed Winston Churchill through the war and all his choices,
sure.
and good and bad ideas. You know, and then that led me into another book about artists in Paris during the occupation and how they got by and what they did. You know, so that leads me down a chain. What have you been reading lately, there, John?
That's a good question. I'm rereading Edgar Mitchell's book, Psychic Explorations, which was written in the 70s. Mitchell was a NASA pilot who then started like a mind over matter program when he came back to Earth. Speaking of which, wait a minute.
He got hopped up on goofballs and thought he saw
a
spaceman.
Wait a minute now.
Yes.
Wait, this brings me to a quick side note. I know we're 4 hours in.
We're about 4.5 hours in.
Did you see Major Tom as performed on the space station
by the
yes.
yeah
by
that
the
guy.
Astronaut
yeah
I
what
did.
What'd you think of that?
That was fine.
That's fabulous.
I thought
it was
fine.
He did a great
I
job.
I thought it was
he
amazing.
That guy's kind of a rock star amongst astronauts.
Oh, he
does all these weird
yeah,
scientific experiments.
Yeah, he's
did
great.
You see him wring out the towel
yeah,
in
yeah.
space? So that's same guy.
I think that yeah. that is probably one of the best things a fucking human being has ever done.
Yeah, I liked it.
Can you imagine being David Bowie?
Yeah.
And watching a guy in space sing your song
sing
about
your
a guy
song
in
with
space.
Earth
Yeah.
Did you think about the planet Earth is blue?
It's
Can
great.
Somebody put Bowie up on the space station?
I mean, seriously. You know, it's funny that people haven't, you know, you would think that would be the greatest publicity anyone could ever get for anything,
right?
Would be to, like, go into space.
Yeah.
And it's, like, beyond people's, it's the one thing that's still sort of beyond people's reach.
Yeah.
You know, you think that, like, Beyonce would send herself into space when she
you
had
would
a record
think
coming
that,
out.
You would think.
But it hasn't happened.
You would think, and I think this with the, like, the moon astronauts and stuff like that. You would think that every, like, there's probably only 400 to 600 people
that,
that have ever fucking even been in space.
Yeah, they've been out of Earth's gravitational pull.
You would think that we would know all of their fucking names.
Yeah.
That we'd be amazed that they did this thing that
no one
else has done.
Well, the Apollo 11 guys.
Can you name the seven, the Mercury 7?
No.
How many can you name?
Not
the Mercury 7?
The first Mercury astronaut. The seven Mercury original.
Oh, you mean like the Right Stuff guys?
Yeah, the original Mercury astronaut.
Alan Shepard.
Yeah.
Alan Shepard.
John Glenn.
John Glenn. Gus Grissom.
Gus Grissom.
Okay.
Wally Schirra.
Okay.
Losing it after this. John, we said John Glenn.
I said John.
We already said John.
Yeah, right.
Gordon Cooper.
Gordon Cooper. Can't name the other two guys to save your life.
I'm not. Wait, hold on.
People can, but see, we don't need to know anything because we have the internet now. So there's no reason.
But I'm saying, like, those names should be
those
on
guys,
everybody's.
But those guys were all famous, and the Apollo 11 astronauts were very famous.
But
the Apollo 12 guys, it started to, you know, fade a little bit, to, you know. But then, you know, when
Scott Carpenter,
Scott Carpenter
with Columbia, the astronauts kind of became famous again, and then they stopped being famous. Deke, so they sort of go through.
And Deke Slayton.
Deke Slayton,
who has the most astronaut name of them all.
Right.
Doesn't he sound like
aside from
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin is become
But Deke Slayton's real close. Right. You're like,
but Buzz Aldrin was the biggest
Slayton
dick
could,
out of all of them.
Deke Slayton, he could pilot everything.
What a cocksucker that guy was.
Buzz Aldrin.
Isn't he the guy that says, when the people say the moon landing is fake, and he says, well, yeah, my camera's still up there. Isn't that his comeback to that when people go up to him and
biggest,
say, and he goes, well, I left my camera up there. You go
when,
up.
When they landed on the moon,
yeah.
NASA said, the one thing NASA hadn't planned for was who was getting out first.
Sure.
And who was going to walk on the moon.
Yeah.
And so they decided on the way to the moon,
yeah.
Neil's going.
Right.
Right? Buzz is the scientist. Yeah. Buzz was a scientist.
Wasn't Neil the mission commander?
Yeah, and that pissed Buzz off because the captain always stays with the ship.
Oh.
Unlike Star Trek, where Kirk goes down
right,
and gets in every fist fight
and so,
every alien planet.
And so when he found
makes
out...
Makes out with the alien girl.
Right. When he found
he's
out...
He's the guy.
When he
Kirk's
found out,
always the first in line.
Well, listen, if you're going to the moon, fuck all that
when,
shit.
When,
the captain
when they found
go
out,
out
when
first.
They found out, when,
right.
when he found out Neil was going out first,
yeah.
he was fucking pissed.
Yeah.
And that's why... Every single picture of an astronaut on the moon from that first moon landing, aside from the video of Neil coming down, right? Every still photograph, you only ever see Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that?
Because they were supposed to take pictures of each other, and Buzz refused to take any pictures of Neil.
So you only... Okay.
Every picture of an astronaut you see on the moon is Buzz Aldrin because Neil took pictures of him.
And Buzz,
and Buzz told him to
said...
Buzz told him, fuck off. I'm not taking any pictures of you. So the only picture we actually have, still photo that we have of Neil on the moon is the famous reflection.
Off, right.
No, the famous reflection photograph.
Okay.
It's an astronaut, and you can see an astronaut in the reflection
of
the helmet. Neil took a picture of himself in Buzz's helmet because Buzz refused to take any pictures of him.
Yeah, and here's the little secret on Buzz Aldrin. We can't tell you're in a goddamn spacesuit.
Yeah.
you arrogant.
Now, people. I guess we can tie this into Room 237,
right. Yes. Right into
which
room
is another documentary that I saw recently.
He's
now,
trying to get us there.
John.
Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Joel Radio's Documentary Bin, where we explore the finest documentary. Should I talk about the movie?
If you haven't donated your $25, we're in hour 8 at joelradio.net.
Look, of call in, hold on. 610-552-0746.
The Rove Armstrong Douchebag Hotline.
If there's a documentary about fungus or bacteria that you're interested in.
If there was a guy who played bass for 5 minutes in a band, send that documentary right over here to joelradio.net. I'll watch that. But Room 237 is about the various conspiracy theories around the meaning of Stanley Kubrick's movie The Shining.
Which is a great film.
Which is a great film. Is lauded as such in the documentary, and then goes into all kinds of crazy shit that's in the movie that people believe Kubrick had these plots, one of which was that he was hiding the moon landing, that he was
that he had filmed the moon landing.
He was that The Shining was him fessing up for faking the moon landing, and that the evidence is all in the film.
There's all hidden in the kid's sweater.
There's a movie called Capricorn One.
Yeah.
Which is they took this basic conspiracy premise and made it a movie.
Yeah.
In which we faked a Mars landing.
Yeah.
And we sent James Brolin and O.J. Simpson to the moon.
Which, by the way, we really should send James Brolin and O.J. Simpson
and
somewhere.
And Elliot Gould's the reporter that's investigating the conspiracy.
But, you know...
Now, as a person who has recently been to the Stanley Hotel...
Right, and the Stanley Hotel is in this document. Now, Corey, you've seen parts of Room 237, right?
Yes.
And John didn't see the actual released film.
I saw the YouTube
clips. But you saw YouTube clips of it, which...
Before it was a film.
Before
there
it was
have
a film.
Been a couple different cuts and edits of this movie because it consists entirely... of footage from other movies.
Yeah, it's not just Kubrick, and it's like every Kubrick movie is in here.
Right.
There's clips from Capricorn 1 in it.
There's clips from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
There's clips from, every Kubrick movie and just all kinds of other movies. So the rights of this must have been a complete mess, but somehow it has been released. I mean, it's on...
I think it's been edited a couple times, though.
It's if you go on demand. But, I mean, all that stuff is in the cut that I saw, so, I mean, it's the one that's out there. And it all adds up to a... bunch of nothing. It's I was really bored even 30 minutes into this thing, and it's about 90 minutes, and I was going, and I love Kubrick, and a lot of this stuff was based...
I love conspiracies.
And you love conspiracies, but I love Kubrick, and I you know, I took, when I was in college, I was a film student, I took classes on Stanley Kubrick, and I broke the movies down, and I wrote essays, copious essays on Stanley Kubrick.
Right.
And I looked for the subtext in his films, and it's in there, and some of the stuff... that they're talking about is probably in the movie and is fine. But the point is that the movie is really about madness. It's about cabin fever when a man loses his mind and goes crazy. That they sort of gloss over in about 10 seconds and then go on and it's all about the Native Americans and the tragedy that was the white man's burden for killing the Indians. That's one theory.
Right.
One theory is about the Nazis and the atrocities of the Holocaust. That's Kubrick's giving his opinion on the Holocaust. Then there's the one where the moon landing was fake. One of them is it's all about...
and they say, like, they changed in the book.
Yeah.
It's room 217.
Yes.
And Kubrick changed it to 237.
Right.
Because the moon is 2,300,000, right?
Yeah. 7 million miles away from Earth.
Right.
Of course, then they give the real explanation that there was a room 237. There was... You couldn't have 217 because there was room to have 217 in this the Timberline Lodge, which was the basis for the movie's hotel. And they didn't want to freak people out in room 217 of that hotel.
Right.
But then they say, no, that hotel didn't have a room 217. But my point is, like, you know, Kubrick made these movies, and yeah, they have messages, and there's things that I'm sure... You know, they said it's on an Indian burial ground, which was not in the book.
Right.
So Kubrick did add that, and there's things that he added, but... It's a fucking horror movie. It's not that there's no big mystery here.
Right.
It's like they're trying to solve something that isn't
there. He made a great horror movie, very disconcerting, and he made it in a Kubrick manner.
Yeah.
So that means there's going to be a billion times worth of shit you could read into it if you want.
There's the
he was really just being Stanley Kubrick.
They have a shot where Jack Nicholson's at the typewriter.
Right.
He's talking to his wife, Shelley Duvall. Over Jack Nicholson's shoulder, there's a chair.
Right.
They cut to Shelley Duvall. They cut back. The chair is gone.
Right.
Same shot, but no chair.
Right.
What does that mean?
That means they didn't match up the shots.
They might have done a reshoot and the chair wasn't there or something. Right. People say, well, why did Kubrick pull the chair? Doesn't mean that somebody's missing. Somebody used to be in the chair.
Right.
And they just go through this all and you just go like, this is a bunch of guys just wanking
off.
And
what I was saying to you earlier, when I watched the original clips on YouTube, there was another theory that was postulated that it had to do with the Federal Reserve.
Okay, that's not really in the movie. But
right.
Yeah.
But now that that's not in the movie, the conspiracy theory is that that was the real reason. And it's been cut from the film. Because they don't want people to know about that.
There are conspiracy theories about Fort Knox and the Federal Reserve that I've seen documentaries about too on television. And that goes into crazy shit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But I'm saying, like, even they cut out the slowest shit, which was the Federal Reserve.
That might have been.
And that made conspiracy theorists go, well, that must be the real thing. That must be why.
And then, like, they go 42 is a number.
Right.
That keeps repeating itself.
Right.
There's six cases of 7-Up stacked up in a hallway.
Right.
Six cases of 7-Up equals 42.
When he locks himself in the freezer, there's Indian heads.
There's Indian heads.
The boxes behind.
Yeah, in the Calumet baking soda. Yeah, yeah. And then they go, well, there's 40. And then this is great. There's a helicopter shot coming over the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, they have a freeze frame in the movie. And they go, there's 42 cars in the parking lot. And as they pause, they go, there's 42 cars in the parking lot.
Right.
Of course, if you run the film back three frames, you can see that there's five or six cars that are now out of frame.
Right.
So you can pause it there and count to 42.
Exactly.
You could pause it again and count a whole other number. It's ridiculous.
Most problems in continuity are because filmmaking is hard. People forget that cigarettes burn, and then they'll be shorter and longer in the same shot.
Sure.
Even great movies are filled with continuity errors.
And when you're dealing with someone like Kubrick, who might be filming the same scene dozens of times.
Mm-hmm. It gets harder.
There's one thing that I'm pretty sure is deliberate is when the kid is he's playing with his toys and a ball rolls up to him. It's a famous scene. And there's that sort of that hexagonal pattern in the thing. There's an open end on that.
Right.
And as the kid's playing, the ball rolls up the open end and stops. Then they cut to something else, or I think it's the blood. It's the blood coming out of the thing, out of the elevator. And then they cut back to the kid. The pattern in the carpet is reversed.
Right.
And now the kid is sitting inside the closed end of the hex.
Right.
That could have been deliberate.
Right.
I could see there is something there that is, you know, could have been on purpose.
Right.
But it doesn't mean, and the kid's wearing an Apollo 11 sweater.
Right.
And that means that Apollo 11 was fake because it was open and then it was clean. It's like, no, it doesn't.
Well, what really amazes me is this, of all the conspiracy theories, and I know there's some that are ridiculous and there's, I know that the Windsor family are actually reptilians, according to David Icke.
Aren't they all?
Right. There's some, when somebody says to me, I think the FBI might have been involved in the Martin Luther King assassination, that one I think, okay, there might be something to that, because J. Edgar Hoover actually hated him, and had him under, you were talking about COINTELPRO.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther King was under surveillance, and if you read even the book that the guy you like, that the debunked, the Kennedy guy you like.
Ugh, Posner?
Gerald Posner?
Gerald
Posner.
Ugh, my
Vincent
God.
Pugliosi.
Posner. Okay. Posner wrote a book about Martin Luther King.
Oh, Posner.
Posner.
He's the worst.
Fucking whore.
Anyway, even Posner,
Killing the
though,
Dream.
Posner wrote a book about Martin Luther King.
Killing the Dream.
And he said James Earl Ray did it, but he said that the FBI created an environment that made it easier to get away with it or do it.
Wow.
That's as close as he came to saying there was a conspiracy. Those are the kind of conspiracies I go, good. When they're fucking moon, when the moon landing, in which thousands of people worked at NASA for a decade building up these rockets.
Maybe
hundreds of contractors worked on these components for the rockets. Hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds of people on site watch the rockets launch.
See what you've done, Joel.
But here's the problem. The thing in the movie, the guy that says the moon landing is fake, the film of the moon landing is faked, and this is what's in Room 237. The guy believes we went to the moon, but the film is faked.
Because once we got there, we found
we just didn't have film, but we needed to have the proof for propaganda.
Right.
So they had Kubrick shoot this, and he front projected the Earth on a stage.
Because,
and if you look at 2001, the shots of the monkeys, the background is actually front projected, and that's
right.
Because the most expensive, exhaustive, involved project in America, in human history, in the history of this nation, and in human history, they forgot to bring a camera to the fucking moon.
Well, there's guys.
What are you goddamn
but see, there's about? Always with conspiracies. There's the thing where they sort of they split the baby in half, where they'll go like, okay, here's what happened with the Kennedy assassination. Oswald took a shot, but he missed.
Right.
There's those guys. There's guys saying Oswald was involved, but he was just a patsy.
Right.
He shot, but he didn't really shoot Kennedy. Another guy shot Kennedy. And Oswald wasn't involved in the conspiracy at all. He was, you know, so there's guys that'll take bits and pieces out just to make it fit their theory
now,
that seems more
I don't
plausible.
Believe every JFK conspiracy I've ever heard, because you're right. A lot of them are cockneyed or cockeyed.
The point about Room 237 is, whatever your theory is, whether it's about the Indians, the Nazis, the moon landing being fake, numerology, however you want to put it, the treasury, It can't be all of those things.
Right.
And so the fact that it can't be all of those probably means it's not any of those things. Because it can't be all of it. And that's the same thing with the Kenny Session. It can't be all of those things.
Fatal flaw of the movie, if we can put on our film criticism pants. Fatal flaw of the movie is that we do not know the identities. And we don't really know anything about the people that are discussing the conspiracies. We never see them on camera.
We never see them on camera. It's just voiceovers. Right. But you can look them up. They're online. They have presence.
Okay, but the film itself doesn't present you anything.
Yeah, it does, you don't see the guys.
And
yeah.
Generally when you see somebody on camera,
yeah.
You get an instant flash of, is this guy credible?
You can size him up.
The guy on Ancient Aliens who's got hair like the Shi'ar from Marvel Comics.
It's like when you find out about a person. You can know a lot about a person.
By looking
Did you see the woman who wasn't there?
What's that?
The documentary, The Woman
About the 9/11. Yeah, it's on my Netflix queue. I haven't seen it yet, though.
I mean, that's a really good example of where here's a woman putting out, like, please make a documentary about me.
Yeah.
I'm the survivor. I've met all these people. I'm doing all this good charitable work. And as they're making the documentary about her, they find out she's fucking fake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, she's bought so deeply into her own bullshit.
Yeah.
But that she's the imposter, asking, right?
The imposter. Great movie.
She's asking people to pay attention to her. Because she's so convinced herself that she's a real person, she's not even concerned that they're going to find out. You know, and then, of course, they do find out.
John, add The Imposter to your Netflix clue, which is another documentary about a guy who posed as a missing kid.
Oh, I heard about that.
And
great movie.
Somehow convinced the family, and then you decide that the family's not all he tells.
Yeah, it's weird. You're like, why is the family? Why did the family go to France to retrieve this kid from Texas? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then you find out the family's got something. Maybe has something to hide too. It's really amazing. Hmm. It's fraud. It's like a fakery inside of more fakery. It's really weird. And but that is the thing about conspiracies is they're every bit as interesting when you look at the people who are making them up.
Yes.
That there is that angle on it where just the reasons why people say and do the things they do is often every bit as interesting as
currently there's a lot of hysteria over the Benghazi situation.
Yeah.
And there's conspiracies that are coming out about this.
Yeah.
But to me, I can't figure out the angle.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
What is the political motivation to stage a situation where people get killed? Yeah. That's where I always go. What are people getting out of it? If it's a conspiracy, and you go to elaborate hoaxes and you make some, there's got to be an end game.
There's the
thing Obama administration didn't kill four people and go, well, that's going to look good for us.
Yeah,
it didn't. It didn't.
They didn't kill the people. Yeah,
that was just incompetence. Right. They didn't fucking staff the thing properly.
Yeah,
and somebody is to blame for that.
But then, the point is that they think that people lied about Benghazi. It's not that what the people that died is people lied about.
Yeah, but now what
you
have is you have people like the leak email.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh look, this is some shit. And then 2 days later, it's like, oh, you know what? That email was doctored up.
Yeah,
by the person who leaked it.
Yeah,
and so it's like, oh,
well, you know.
And it becomes such a mishmash.
Yeah.
And I always tell people this when I do my lectures. First and foremost, I usually don't talk about a conspiracy or something that may wind up being a conspiracy, like for months.
Yeah.
Because
the conspiracies evolve.
Because they evolve, and you want to see where it goes before you start mouthing an opinion on it.
But
in this day and age of Facebook, like as soon as something breaks, everybody fucking knows what's going
on. The Boston bombing was they had conspiracy theories that were literally. Bombing one day, conspiracy the next day, debunking the next day. It was just like the whole the Kennedy assassination thing. Yeah. Like I told the court,
it took years.
This reminded me of the Kennedy assassination in that there was the hobos from the Kennedy assassination. Then you had the other guys that were there. The guys had headsets on in Boston.
Right.
It's like this whole thing.
What was the first book? 60
Mark
seconds.
Lane, Plausible Deniability.
That didn't come
Rush
out
to
for
Judgment.
What?
Excuse me,
Rush to Judgment. Yes.
That didn't come out for like 18 months or so. Right.
It came out. Like it came out after the Warren Report.
It came out in 65.
Oh, did it? Yeah. So it was before the. No, it was after the Warren Report.
Yeah, it was after the Warren.
But it was to basically poke holes in the Warren Report.
Right.
But
it took 2 years.
Yeah, I know. See, now it's instantaneous. Comes and goes in a day. Yeah. Here's what Penn Jillette said about fakery and people that do this stuff and people that lie. And he claims that people like psychics and even with these girls in Cleveland with the psychic Sylvia Brown saying the girl was dead. She goes on. She went on a show and told the family, this girl's dead. You have to give it up and whatever. And Penn's point is he says, these people really believe. And they probably really believe in these conspiracy theories. And it's like they're lying, but they're only lying to back up what they truly believe. Like they're saying, psychics will do cold reading and they'll have earpieces, but it's only to prove that they're the real thing.
Right.
It's not that they're not that they're making it up just to be full of shit. They actually do believe these things.
Penn told a story where he was doing a movie and he was pretending to shoot a gun. And they had an actual marksman hitting targets. Like, you know, he'd aim at the thing for the camera.
Yeah.
And they had a marksman behind him who was hitting the target to make it look like he was making the shot.
Yeah.
And Penn was like, I started going, wow, I'm getting good at this.
Yeah,
You know?
That is a lot of – because if you really look at things and go, like, I don't believe that those Kennedy guys – are just flat making shit up to make shit up.
Right.
But I also feel like after a while, they have to start making shit up to preserve
their
original thing. So, you know.
Well, I think what happens in that case is there's so much literature on that. That guys are running off the fumes of other guys.
Yeah.
Oh, that just goes on.
That goes on and on.
You start writing books about the books that we're writing about the books.
Yeah.
And so, and then you lose the original information altogether.
Yeah, it becomes a.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you read the actual, you know,
you take things like, you take like the Oliver Stone JFK movie, right? You've got four different books with their four different theories.
Yeah, right.
And Stone makes one movie out of them.
Yeah.
And then people start writing books about the movie JFK instead of the events that happen.
You know, if you read the Warren Commission report, as much as people dump on it, very few people read it, but you can get it. It's a book. You're on Amazon. It's probably $1 to get
read the
you can
get the report that they gave to the American public.
Right. Well, you can get there's 26 volumes of testimony that most people won't have access to. It's in the library. If you go to your library, it'll be there. But if you just read the actual report, which is a book you get, it explains exactly what happened.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, you know,
there's
what I mean?
A lot of mistakes.
The
in it.
Timing, the
it's pretty terrible.
The biggest mistake that the Warren Commission...
It's pretty terrible.
The biggest mistake that the Warren Commission made, which has been debunked, is that the timing of the shots was off, according to what they believed.
Right.
But if you want
to... So they just readjusted their thinking to continue thinking the way that they thought. Isn't that what you were just saying, Joel?
Singer! All right.
I'm done. Get me out of here.
I've had enough, too. All right.
Joel, you gonna do card tricks for us?
I was gonna show you if you can
some sleight of hand.
The sleight of hand is great on podcasts. Can I just tell you how much that works?
Yeah, he was mad at me for looking at titties over here, and you're doing.
Watching sleight of hand. I'm watching. He's got a
John. I've got a red card and a black card.
That's right.
I'm gonna look at these cards, and I want you to tell me, without you looking at them, because you have psychic powers. We know you're a good man.
Yes.
Can you tell me if I hold up a card?
Yes.
Or a group of cards?
Yes.
If the card is black or red.
I have a 50-50 chance.
Okay, but you just tell me what you think. Like, here's three cards. Are these black or red?
Those are black.
These are black. I'll put them in the black category.
Right.
Okay,
this
now
is
I have
exciting
three.
For the
should I continue with
those
this?
Those are black.
These are black as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me pull out a couple. How about these two
those
cards?
Those are black.
These are black.
Okay.
You know, go fuck yourself, John Tenney.
What?
Go fuck yourself.
I'm playing.
Go fuck yourself.
I want to see the illusion.
That's the illusion. The illusion is go fuck yourself. That's the punchline. Well,
John just went, statistically, somebody is going to be black.
If I just keep saying black.
Get out of here with that.
No. I'm trying 50-50.
Here's the point.
Here's the point.
I worked on a trick all night. Just forget about that.
All right.
Don't pay any attention to that.
I won't.
You debunker. How dare you?
I just
you
fucked up his trick and his logic about the Warren Commission in less
skeptic,
than a minute.
Skeptic, you ruined Joel's magic
skeptics
trick.
Of skeptics are just mad that people are having fun.
Right.
Are you thinking about weird stuff? Fuck you. You're not right. You're not right. You're not right. You're having fun and you're thinking about weird shit.
All right, listen. Let's.
Ghosts aren't real.
I'm not sure how many hours the show's been going on.
What about the James Randi $1 million challenge?
Well, the James Randi Educational Foundation gives out $1 million if you can prove.
Randy's pissed some people off lately.
If you can prove that you have paranormal abilities in a double-blind study.
And what has Randi done lately that's made people mad?
What has he done? You tell me.
Randi said that for one of the very first times, now that he's in old age,
yes.
He said that he's not ever said.
Yeah.
That 100% there's no afterlife.
Oh.
There's no way you could know. There's no way you could know.
I didn't hear him say that.
There's no way you could know.
He was on with Pendulette the other day.
So he said there's no way we could be 100% sure.
Sure.
and that has pissed off a lot of the JREF people.
There, it has, but that doesn't that doesn't invalidate the challenge.
What are JREF people?
The James Randi
Educational Foundation. Okay.
So that's what the if you can do. In other words, a double blind study would be
you
like.
You know what I say about Randy, right? Gay.
He is gay, but like a double blind study would be like saying. Not only do I am I setting up a test, like say John says he's psychic, I set up a test. Not only does John not know the result, John, I don't even the person giving the test
right.
can't know what the correct answer is because right. that. Could
but they have made the test extremely difficult.
They have made them extremely difficult, but they also the person that is taking the test has some say in the parameters of the test as well.
Yes,
as long as it's
but ultimately,
agreeable.
Randy can make it as hard as he wants.
He can, yes. And people can't pass the test. People have tried.
Oh, right. Randy can make it as hard as he wants.
All
that's
right.
what I heard.
Gay.
Listen,
have you ever heard? You ever
that's
noticed
a,
that?
That's a homosexual tugboat.
That gay.
Gay.
All right.
Ah,
John.
Now that's comedy. There's a guy that's funny on mic and off.
I have a new show coming on IFC called Tenny.
Tenny.
It's truly based. It's based on my real life.
Oh.
As a podcaster, a paranormal researcher, and my interactions with comedians. It's a new concept.
When are we gonna hear?
It's a new concept we're working on. Top Tenny's.
He fucks up people's
magic
tricks.
I bought the domain now. So
oh, Top Tenny's is a real show now. You're saying, it's no longer a subdomain
top
or something
tennies,
else. It's a real thing.
By the way, if you call in the Rove Armstrong Memorial Hotline.
610-552-0746.
Yes.
Thank you, John. The code word today is ham salad. If you've
ham
made it
salad.
All the way.
Very good. I like
sounds
that.
Delicious.
I like when you give those.
If
and
you listen to the whole
stop
show,
giving those. Yeah,
ham, call in, tell us ham salad and
ham
your
salad.
Thoughts about Amy Schumer's tits and James Randi.
Anyway, we've covered a lot of ground. I thought this was a fun show.
Has James Randi ever done a radio show at the same time as Dr. Demento? Because
no.
they sound very similar
no.
to me, if you want to talk about conspiracies.
Well, I don't know what to tell you other than... Don't watch Room 237.
Weirdlectures.com.
I'm making a documentary called Room 227, which is about what happened to Jack A's career and all the conspiracy theories about it.
A lot of people don't know that.
Jack A.
Kubrick and Jack A never seen in the same
never
scene.
Never seen
no.
it.
She
so
was going to be
don't
in
watch
Room
237.
Shut.
I don't think any of us will I don't think any of us are recommending that movie.
I've been in Room 237 at the Stanley.
Okay. But the Stanley's not...
The Stanley was the outside of the building.
No, it wasn't. The
oh, yeah.
The Stanley, it was. No, it wasn't. The Timberline
oh, yeah.
Lodge
you're
in
wrong.
Oregon was
you're
the
wrong.
Outside of the building.
You're wrong.
The Stanley is where Stephen King came up with the idea
right.
for The Shining.
Right.
The, in the movie, the hotel you see is the Timberline Lodge in Oregon.
Yeah, but yeah. you're not right.
the Stanley Hotel is in Room 237.
I'm just kidding. Trying to make you mad.
Man.
All right,
can I
let's
get
go.
The fuck out of here, please?
You know what we're going to do? Here's what I want to do.
Jesus, what?
I want to do a podcast where we actually put hidden meanings to things in it.
As if we haven't in this one. Ham salad.
Ham salad is the secret meaning.
I'm telling you, I think James Randi is the same guy as Dr. Demento.
Are you putting
conspiracy theory, right? Look at that, huh?
Except one is fun.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
And it's not Randy.
Right.
Well, anyway, let's get out of here, guys. This was a fun time. I enjoyed hanging out with John, as
Dr.
always.
Dr. Demento, everybody.
Oh.
Dr. Demento. And, of course, Corey, we're going to see you every Friday. Fox 2 morning show,
Fox
9 a.m.
Fox 2 mornings
in
June.
Are you going on the? Are you going to Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Did
John,
you make, give him a phone call?
John's coming to Comic-Con, and so
did you make a
you'll
phone
be
call?
There
Did
this
you make
week?
A phone call, Corey?
I haven't heard back
I
yet.
I probably
yeah.
will not be there, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
More nerd girls for you.
John will be there.
I don't want to go and tell everything that comic books are not real.
I have a plug. I have a fundraiser coming up.
Oh, do you?
That I'm gonna Ooh. Close for the Lupus Foundation. That's gonna be at Laugh Tracks in Novi. We'll tell you more next time.
Okay, so it's in a little
June,
ways off.
June 16th.
All right.
And
is that an open mic thing?
No. It's gonna be a show. I'm gonna headline it.
Will he be wearing shorts on stage?
Yes. I will be wearing a thong.
Are you raising money for comics who wear shorts on stage?
Yes, we...
That's inside. Oh, it's a hidden conspiracy.
Oh,
it's gonna be
ham
called,
salad.
It's gonna be called Knees Out Loud.
But yeah. So just to sum up.
So
I like Maron.
I
the
hate
show.
Him.
You haven't seen the show.
I hate him.
Uninformed opinion. I liked Inside Amy Schumer. I hated Room 237. I liked Beware of Mr. Baker. And I really like Fred Stoller's book. We might have you back.
All right, good times.
That's
Fred and Vinny.
And I like
And the Warren Commission was wrong.
I'm Dying Up Here by William Nodelsader.
That's a great book.
Check that book
That's
out.
A really good book. Enjoy that. And
so we've given you a lot of documentaries and books.
Nirvana, a biography by Everett True is a very good book about Nirvana.
None of these things will help you get laid.
No, not at all.
But we did give you the important information.
Exactly.
Find a New York 4, which is like a Michigan 6.
Yeah.
Put her in a Supergirl suit.
It's wearing a Transformers t-shirt at your local Comic-Con. And bang the shit out of there.
All right, that's good.
That's
all right. Congratulations. You finished this episode of Joel Radio. I feel like they should get an achievement, like we're on Xbox or something. It should pop up. Boop, boop.
The secret word is sneaky poultry.
Oh, sneaky poultry. My goodness.
The double secret word.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night. Goodbye.